ஜயம் விஷ்ணுபாத பரமஹம்ச பரிவிராஜகாச்சாரியா அஷ்டோத்தரசக ஸ்ரீ ஸ்ரீமான் அபயசரணாரவிந்த பக்திவேதாந்த கோஸ்வாமி மகராசீல பிரபுபாதிக்கு ஜயம். நெத்திலீலா பிரவிஷ்ட விஷ்ணுபாத பரமஹம்ச பரிவிராஜகாச்சாரியா அஷ்டோத்தரசக ஸ்ரீ ஸ்ரீமான் பக்தி சித்தாந்த சரஸ்வதி மகராசீல பிரபுபாதிக்கு அனந்தகொடி வைஷ்ணவிருந்தகி ராமாச்சாரியசீல ஹரிதாஸ் டாக்கூர்கி பிரேம்சோ ஸ்ரீகிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய பிரபு நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீஅத்வைத கதாதார ஸ்ரீவாசாதி கௌர பக்தவிருந்தகி ஸ்ரீ ஸ்ரீ ராதாகிருஷ்ண கோப கோவிநாத ஷியாமகுண்ட ராதாகுண்ட கிரி கோவர்தானிக்கு வந்தாவன் தாமிக்கு மாயப்பூர் தாமிக்கு மதுரபுரி தாமிக்கு ஜெகநாத்புரி தாமிக்கு துவாரகாபுரி தாமிக்கு கங்கமாயிக்கு ஹேமனமாயிக்கு துளசி தேவிக்கு பக்தி தேவிக்கு சாமவேத பக்த வந்தகி கோர் பிரேமானந்தி. ஆல் க்ளோரிஸ் டு அசம்பிள் டிவோட்டீஸ், ஆல் க்ளோரிஸ் டு அசம்பிள் டிவோட்டீஸ், ஆல் க்ளோரிஸ் டு அசம்பிள் டிவோட்டீஸ், ஆல் க்ளோரிஸ், ஆல் க்ளோரிஸ் டு ஸ்ரீ குரு அண்ட் கௌரங்க, ஆல் க்ளோரிஸ் டு ஸ்ரீல பிரபுபாத். நமாம் விஷ்ணுபதாய கிருஷ்ண பிரஸ்தாய பூதலே ஸ்ரீமதே பக்தி வேதாந்த சுவாமின் இதி நாமினே நமஸ்தே சரஸ்வதேவி கௌரவாணி பிரஜாரிணே நிர்விசேஷ சூன்யவாதி பாஷாத்யா தேசதாரிணே. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய, ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய, ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் அஜ்ஞானதிமிராந்தஸ்ய ஞானாஞ்சனசலாகய சக்ஷுருன்மிலிதம் யேன தஸ்மை ஸ்ரீகுரவே நம. ஸ்ரீசைதன்ய மனோபீஷ்டம் ஸ்தாபிதம் யேன பூதலே ஸ்வயம் ரூபகதா மஹ்யம் ததாதி ஸ்வபதாந்தியம். வந்தேஹம் ஸ்ரீகுரு ஸ்ரீயுதா பதகமலம் ஸ்ரீகுரும் வைஷ்ணவாம்ஸ்ச ஸ்ரீரூபம் சாக்ரஜாதம் சஹகண ரகுநாதான்விதம் தம் சஜீவம் சாத்வைதம் சாவதூதம் ஹரிஜனசிதம் கிருஷ்ணச்சைதன்யதேவம் ஸ்ரீராதாகிருஷ்ணபதம் சகனலலிதம் ஸ்ரீவிஷாகலிதம். நமோம் விஷ்ணுபதாய கிருஷ்ணப்பிரஸாய பூதலே ஸ்ரீமதே பக்திவேதாந்தஸ்வாமி நாமினே நமஸ்தே சரஸ்வதி தேவே கௌரவாணி பிரஜாரிணே நிர்விசேஷூன்யவாதி பாஷாத்யா தேசதாரிணே. நமாம் விஷ்ணுபதாய கிருஷ்ணப்பிரஸாய பூதலே ஸ்ரீமதே பக்தி சித்தாந்த சரஸ்வதி நாமினே ஸ்ரீவர்ஷபானவி தேவி தைதாய கிருபாத்தயே கிருஷ்ணசம்பந்த விஜயானம் தாயினே பிரபவே நமாம். மாதுரியோஜ்வல பிரேமாத்யா ஸ்ரீரூபானுகபத்திதா ஸ்ரீகௌர கருணாசக்தி விக்ரஹாய நமோஸ்துதே. நமஸ்தே கௌரவாணி ஸ்ரீ மூதயே தீனதாரிணே ரூபானுக விருத்தாம சித்தாந்த த்வாந்தஹாரிணே. நமோ கௌர கிஷோராய சாட்சாத் வைராக்ய மூர்த்தயே விப்ரலம்பர சாம்போதே பதாம்புஜாயதே நம. நமோ பக்தி வினோதாய சச்சிதானந்த நாமினே கௌர சக்தி ஸ்வரூபாய ரூபனோகவராயதே. கௌராவிர்பவபூமேஸ்த்வம் நிர்தேஷ்டா சஜனப்ரியா வைஷ்ணவா சர்வபௌம ஸ்ரீ ஜகநாதாய தே நமாம். வஞ்சகல்பதருப்யாஶ்ச கிருபா சிந்துப்ய ஏவ ச பதிதானாம் பாவனேப்யோ வைஷ்ணவேப்யோ நமோ நமஹ. நமோ மஹாபதன்யாய கிருஷ்ண பிரேம பிரதாயதே கிருஷ்ணாய கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய பஞ்சதத்வாத்மகம் கிருஷ்ணம் பக்தரூபஸ்வரூபகம் பக்தாவதாரம் பக்தாக்யம் நமாமி பக்தசாத்விகம். ஹே கிருஷ்ண கருணா சிந்தோ தீனபந்தோ ஜகல்பதே கோபேஷ கோபிகா காந்த ராதா காந்த நமோஸ்துதே.
ஜயதாம் சுரதோ பங்கோர் மமம் மந்தமதேர்கதி மத்சர்வஸ்ய பதாம் போஜௌ ராதா மதன மோஹனௌ திவ்ய வ்ருந்தாரண்ய கல்பத்ருமாத ஸ்ரீமந்த ரத்நாகர சிம்ஹாசனஸ்தௌ ஸ்ரீ ஸ்ரீ ராதா ஷீல கோவிந்த தேவோ ப்ரஷ்டாலிபிஹ சேவ்யமானோ ஸ்மராமி ஸ்ரீமன் ராசரசாரம்பி வம்சீ வடதடஸ்திதாகர்ஷன் வேணுஸ்வனேர் கோபேர் கோபிநாதா ஸ்ரீஸ்து நாஹம் தப்த காஞ்சன கௌராங்கி ராதே விருந்தாவனேஸ்வரி வ்ருஷபானுசுதே தேவி பிரணமாமி ஹரிப்ரியே. ஜய ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய பிரபோ நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீ அத்வைத கதாதார ஸ்ரீவாசாதி கௌர பக்தவ்ருந்த ஹரே கிருஷ்ண 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 ஹரே 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 ராம 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 ஹரே 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 கிருஷ்ண ஹரே கிருஷ்ண 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 ஹரே 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 ராம 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 ஹரே 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 கிருஷ்ண ஹரே கிருஷ்ண 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 ஹரே 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 ராம 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 ஹரே ஹரே. ஓம் பாதாய பிரதிபோதிதம் பகவதம் நாராயணேன ஸ்வயம் வியாசேன க்ரதிதம் புராண முனிநாம் மத்யே மகாபாரதம் அத்வைதாமிருத வர்ஷினீ பகவதி அஷ்டாதசாத்யாயினி அம்பத்வாம் அனுசந்ததாமி பகவத்கீதே பவத்வேஷினீ. நமோஸ்துதே வியாச விஷால புத்தே ஜானமுத்ராய கிருஷ்ணாய கீதாமிருததுஹே நமாம். சரோவரிஷதோ காவோ துர்கா கோபாலநந்தன பார்த்தோ வல்ச சுதீர்போக்தா துக்தம் கீதாமிருதம் மஹத். வசுதே வசுதம் தேவம் சம்சச்சானூரமர்தனம் தேவகீ பரமானந்தம் கிருஷ்ணம் வந்தே ஜகத்குரும். பீஷ்மத்ரோணதடா ஜயத்ரத ஜல காந்தார நீலோல்பல ஷல்யக்ராஹவதீ கிருபேண வஹனி கர்ணேன வேலாகுலா அஸ்வத்தாமா விகர்ண கோரமகரா துரியோதனாமர்த்தினி சோதீர்ண கலுவாண்ட வைரண நதி கைவர்த்தக கேசவா பாராசரியவஜ சரோஜமலம் இதார்த்த கந்தோல்கடம் நானாத்யானக கேசரம் ஹரிகதா சம்போதனாபோதிதம் லோகை சஜ்ஜன ஷல்பதைரஹரஹ பெரியமானம் முதா உயார் பாரத பங்கஜ கலிமல பிரசும் ஸ்ரேயசே. மூகம் கரோதி வாசாலம் பங்கும் லங்கயதே கிரிம் யல் கிருபாதமஹம் வந்தே பரமானந்த மாதவம். பிரம்மா வருணேந்திர ருத்ர மருதஸ்துவன் வந்தி திவ்யை ஸ்தவைர் வேதைர் சாங்கபதேர் க்ரம உபனிஷதேர் காயந்தியம் சாமகா மனசா பசியந்தியம் யோகினோ யஸ்யாந்தம் ந விதுஸ்வரா சுரகணே தேவாய தஸ்மை நம.
In the 18th chapter, which we are discussing now, after Krishna has spoken about Varnashram Dharma. In the 45th, 46th and 47th, 48th verses, Krishna wanted to tell us that the impact of karmam in us, in one way. Krishna said there that first he said that every man can become perfect. And he said how this can be done. That was the 45th verse. Everybody can become perfect. He didn't say only Brahmana can become perfect. He said everybody can become perfect. Sve sve karmani abhirada sam siddhim lebhade nara so karma nirada siddhi yada vindad takshruno. That is the important statement. People misunderstand that only if you become a Brahmana, you become qualified for liberation or for spiritual perfection. But Krishna is saying that every man can become perfect. Please hear from me how this can be done. Now, the influencing factor there is karma. By following his qualities of work, what is karma referring to? So he's saying there, sve sve karmani abhiradha. In his own work, samsiddhim lebhade nara, how perfection can come in one's own work. And in that way, he says that everybody can become perfect. That is, Krishna put an introduction there, what he is going to talk about, karma. In the next verse, he said, yada pravrtir bhudhanam yena sarvamidam tatam so karmanantam abhyarcha siddhim vindadi manava. He says there that it is possible to become, get that perfection even while engaged in the work, whatever work one is doing. Yada pravrtir bhudhanam yena sarvamidam tadam. Yena sarvamidam tadam. But, so karmanam tam abhyarcha siddhim vindadi manava. Krishna is saying here that completely absorbed in his own work, perfection is possible, Krishna is saying. Krishna is saying that a man can attain perfection through performing his own work, what has come to him. Yada pravrtir bhudhanam yena sarvamidam tadam. So karmanantam abhyarcha siddhim vindadi manava. And then one important verse after that. Shreyan so dharmo viguna paradharmal sunishtida so karmam sobhava niyadam karmam kurvan apnodi kelbisham. Where he mentioned that it is a very profound statement, this verse, completely against the modern world. Modern world believes that based on your how ambitious you are, you should go for higher, different work, make you have to be motivated and ambitious to go on the top of the ladder. So any work is anybody is allowed to do. That is the modern concept, isn't it? Anybody is allowed to do any work. But what Krishna is saying here is that is the most dangerous thing to do. Because from the spiritual point of view, Krishna is saying this. Shreyan sodharma vigunat paradharmal sunushtidal. Even if you execute your sadharmam, dharmam that has come to you through prarabdham, even if there is defect in that, Krishna says it is better than doing somebody else's karmam, even if you do it in a perfect way. This perfection imperfection, world looking at it from one point of view, Krishna looking at it from another point of view. World is looking at how result oriented it is, how good the results are, karma linked with the phalam. We are looking, the world is looking at the karmam, what you do. And then the world glorifies, somebody who has done well, says that he has done very well, because, and therefore the result has come. Complete anonymities, avidya it is, because Krishna has already spoken to us before, that any karmam that is executed, the results are not connected with the effort. Remember that? In the earlier chapters, fourth chapter, he said, it has no relationship. In illusion, we are thinking that it is because of the effort the result has come. But that is not the truth. Though, therefore, that's already been rejected by Krishna. Now, in this verse, Krishna is saying, Shreyan so dharmo vigunal paradharmal sunushtidal. Doing paradharmam is not a good thing. Sodharmam is always better. Even if there is vigunam, there is impurities or imperfections in there. And the Raksha, and Paradharmal Sonushtidal, if you do somebody else's karma, and even if it become looks perfect externally, still it is not the right thing. Why? Svabhavaniyadam karmam kurvan naapnodi kilbisham. The karmam, purpose of karmam is to wipe out that svabhavam from inside. There is already accumulated vasanas inside, all of us. Now, to remove those vasanas, certain karmam has to be performed. And it is through the karmam that vasanas gets destroyed, provided it is executed in the proper way. So, in order that the vasanas to get destroyed, svabhavaniyadam karmam, Krishna is saying there, karmam is coming from svabhavam, and that svabhavam will get exhausted through that karmam, and in that way the vasanas will also go away. Kurvan natnodi kilbisham. And benefit is that if a karmam is executed in that way, it will not have any sinful reactions from that, because you have acted according to your svabhavam. According to your svabhavam and the dharmam you have performed, and therefore it cannot cause any problem. Sahajam karma kaunteya sadosha apina tyajel sarvarambahi doshena dumen agni ivavrida. To support that point, to support that verse 47, verse 48 was spoken. First of all, when 47, because generally when you listen to that verse 47, you may think this looks a little bit odd, because Krishna is saying, if you perform sodharmam, even if there is some imperfection, it doesn't matter. It is better than doing somebody else's karmam perfectly, because svabhavaniyadam karmam kurvannatnodi kilbisham, that if you perform your sodharmam, then there won't be any sinful reaction from that. That he has said that. Now, if you have a doubt about that, if you still have a little difficulty in accepting that, the next verse is to support that argument, Krishna's argument. He is saying there, sahajam karma kaundaya sadosham abhinatyajel sarvarambahi doshena dume agnirivanala. Krishna's point is, no matter what karmam you do in this world, there is some fault attached to that karmam. Just like he gives the example as fire covered by the smoke. Fire covered by the smoke. So therefore, under no circumstances, one should not give up his work. One should not give up his work, which has come by his nature, by his pragriti, or by his svabhavam. Even if such work is full of fault. Even if such work is full of fault. What you have to remember here, there is a lot of things in these verses involved. First thing, Bhagavad Gita was spoken in the background of Varnashrama Dharma. That means, anyone who does not fall in the Varnashramam, for them it is difficult to accept Krishna's statement. And this fits in very well based on the Varnam and Ashram. That is the background. Only today Varnashram has gone away. But practically Varnashram Dharma existed all time in the throughout the world in one way or the other. So looking at that point, Krishna is pointing out that whatever Varnam and Ashram, Varnam has one born or one has qualified in that way, that karmam will continue with him, and that will help him to free himself from his svabhavam inside or prakriti inside. So that is what he was saying, sahajam karma kondaya satosham abhinat tyajed. That because even if you are doing that, for example, people who have taken to any profession because their parents have done the same thing or their parents have done the same thing, he came through that family, that person did not have to endeavor very hard to compete with somebody else, because of the reason why he got birth in that situation was because he had that vasana and prakriti in him. Therefore, to rid of that vasana from inside, he had to execute that karmam. Therefore, the birth has happened to him in that particular situation. When we do not follow any higher authority, when we do not follow any shastram, then we see what is happening in the world today. Is it not? Why this situation has happened? Because of the absence of Varnashrama Dharma. You can very well see that. If you little bit scrutinizingly study Varnashrama Dharma, you will see that the leadership all over the world, no matter one place or the other,
and the whole society is being continuously influenced by people who do not have that qualifications for that particular work they are doing. Because they don't have that qualifications, their mind is completely lost. And therefore, as Krishna said in the 17th chapter, that anybody who engages in karmam, a shastra vidimul srijya vartade kama garagad, he is doing out of his lusty desires inside. He has no authority. Tasmal shastram pramanande. Again, Krishna stressed that point. Shastram is the... This is all for a society who is advancing in the spiritual path, which has a very higher goal of life. It is for them all this apply. Ordinary people who does not have any spiritual background, nor do they have any interest in spiritual life, simply gratifying the senses, Bhagavad Gita is of no use to them. Bhagavad Gita is for those people who are upholding higher values in life and who wants to progress on the spiritual side. Therefore, in the background of Arnashava Dharmam, Bhagavad Gita has been spoken. So it is keeping in mind these verses are spoken. These verses, all these four or five verses are particularly, it is in the background of that. So that is why he is saying, Sahajam karma kaundeya sabdosham abhinatyaje. Because karma, we do not accept this karma seriously. We don't even take notice of it. We think that's something else, nothing to do with me. That's our nature. But Krishna is saying here, Sahajam karma kaundeya. Karma has born with you. When you were born, karma is also born with you. What karma you have to perform here, that's also born with you. Sahajam karma kaundeya. And sadosham abhina tyajed. Sadosham abhina tyajed. Krishna is saying there, that this karma what you are executing here, even if there is dosham, there is faults in that, na tyajed, it should not be given up, because it's born with you. There is a purpose. Krishna has put us in different situations in this world. And Krishna is saying to us, when you have been given a birth somewhere, and you have been given also, along with that birth, your karma is also born. And with that karma and that birth, it has to go together. You, under no circumstances you can break away from that and go away from that. That will not work. That's the first point to understand. These are the subtle side of the Bhagavad Gita. Sahajam karma kaunteya sa dosham abhinatyajad. Even if there is some dosham in there, na tyajed, it should never be given up. Sarvarambahi doshena dhumena agni ivavrata. Every effort is covered with fault. No, Krishna is not looking how well you have done the karma. What Krishna is looking at it, by doing that karma, have you been cleared of the vasana inside? If the vasana has gone away, your karma is perfect as far as Krishna is concerned. Because vasana kshayam, or wiping out the vasana, is this life in this world. We have come with vasana, and this vasana must go away from here, from inside. Otherwise, what will happen is, if you go and do another karma, which is not based on your karma that has come with you, that fresh karma will create fresh vasanas inside. And you have not revealed or released those vasanas which is already there. So on two grounds, you are a loser. You haven't got rid of the vasanas what's already there, because that karma was not executed. Secondly, fresh karma you have executed, for which you have no vasana inside, but for doing that karma, where you are identifying, I am the doer and the enjoyer, it has created further vasanas. That means your vasana package has built up. That is the importance of these verses. All these are important verses. Lot of things to look at it, and it is discussed in the Hashem very detail about these things. Another thing, this is one thing. Second thing, the karma, what we are performing now. Sahajam karma konde sadosham vina tejed sarvarambahi doshena dumen agni vavada. This is an important thing. For example, you can see something that, say, you are performing sadhana, any sadhana, spiritual sadhana you are performing there. In that sadhana, your ahankaram is there, that I am doing this, I am doing that. Suppose
you have done sadhana for a long time, and by it has become your svabhavam. Suppose it has become your svabhavam, then the advantage is the ahankaram will go, because it has become your svabhavam. Any karmam is like that. If you look at it, you will see this. Any karmam in this world, if it has become your svabhavam, then the ahankaram will go. But if it has become, if it is a good thing, good karmam or good svabhavam inside, then it is an asset. But similarly, even bad karmam, if you execute it, and if it has become a svabhavam, then that vasana is difficult to wipe out. That is the important thing. That is why continuously doing spiritual sadhana, spiritual activities, develops a person in such a way that all the time he gets absorbed in spiritual life. It's not anymore an academic subject for studying in the books. That becomes your svabhavam. Once it has become a svabhavam, then the karmam that comes through will be devoid of ego there. There will be no ahankaram in that. That you can observe yourself. For example, if you are chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna Mantra, if you are chanting that, over a long period of time if you chant, it will become so involved inside that you won't feel any need to think about it. It will come in a natural way within. That's the point Krishna is saying here. Asaktaha, yeah. He says, sahajam karma, sahajam. Sahajam, it becomes sahajam. Sahajam karma kaundeya sadosham apinatya jail. Sarvarambahi doshena dhumen agni ivavrida. Many things in this verse related to our life in this world. All these verses are in relationship with our life in this world. Krishna is giving you general directions in life to take note of. If you take notice of these directions, what Krishna has mentioned here, then it will make you feel that what you are doing is the right thing. Conflict won't happen inside. Conflict won't develop. Otherwise, conflict will come. Suppose you take, if you don't take this into account in life, what will happen is, every time there is a confrontation inside, am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the right thing? This question will come. This question will come. So that shouldn't happen. It should be very open and clean inside. There should not be any conflict inside that what you are doing in this world, you are doing the right thing. That confidence has to come and will only come through this understanding of these verses. That is why they are important. So quite a few subtle points Krishna has spoken in these verses. That Shreyan Sodharmo Vigunal, first one, that is not to do a karmam which is not yours. Paradharma Sunishtival, even if you do it perfectly, somebody else's karmam, Krishna says, Subhava Nevam Karmam Kurvanatnodi Kilbisham. Practically, the idea is, karmam should flow through this body without making any mark inside. That is the idea behind it. It should flow through this body without making any mark inside. Whereas in the modern setup, we get attached to the karmam with all our desires behind it, complete attachment to the result of the work, and with high ambition and desire we execute the karmam. The result, what happens? Result is that we get completely entangled in that, caught up in that, is it not? Then you can't break away from that. That means you suffer in this life and you create more suffering for the future life as well. These are secret things what Krishna is telling us. Either we accept what Krishna says or we have to do what we like, isn't it? So the seriousness behind it is very high. That is why these verses in the Bhagavad Gita, particularly this concluding chapter, 18th chapter, is only to wake us up again to the reality, not ignore the reality. Shreyan Sodharmo Vigunan, Paradharmal Sunushtidal. Because one has to be careful in the world today that everybody is pushed to do the karmam in such a way that you should be on the top of the world, everything. Krishna has never spoken this top of the world business. This is a greed inside, and this is also the maya inside, illusion that's creating that feeling. Any karmam in this world, Krishna is saying it is perfect as long as it flows through the body without causing any mark inside. That is the success of the karmam. In that process, whatever vasanas were already there, that also gets released and you become purified inside. Purification of inside happens due to if you execute the karmam in this way. That chitta shuddhi, what Krishna talk about. And only if there is Chitta Shuddhi, spiritual knowledge, spiritual life will develop in a person. One someone who is completely absorbed in the profit and loss of this world and completely absorbed in the name and fame of this world and authority of this world, what possibility is there for him to free himself from the karma? There is no possibility. That is the important point. That's why this verse will point out a lot of things. What's wrong with the world today? Shrayan swadharmo vigunan paradharmal sunishtidat svabhavaniyatam karmam kurvan natnodi kilbisham. In a very few words, Krishna has spoken that fact. Then sahajam, again he is stressing that point. Sahajam karma kaundeya. Karmam has born with you. You are born, karmam is also born along with that. And sadosham apinatya jail. Again saying, even if there is dosham, there is fault in that, never to give it up, because it's born with you. So sarvarambhi doshena dumena agniri vavrda. Every work in this world, Krishna is saying, is dosham is there. Dume agni vavrda, just like fire is covered with smoke. Similarly, there will be fire and there will be smoke, and that you can't avoid. So similarly, in every karma, no karma is perfect here. Krishna is looking at it from the spiritual side. So that is another important point spoken there. And finally he said that the sahajam karma kaundeya sadosha abhinatyajit savarambhi doshena dumena agni ivavrita. So from 45 verse 45, sve sve karmani abhirada, Krishna is bringing that karma yogam back here again. The beauty of karma yogam and karma yogam's necessity in this world to help us to purify our consciousness inside chitta shuddhi. So that was the goal behind that, saying all these things. And main thing is that, remember I talked this before also, in one's own life, one has to know about oneself, especially in the modern situation. In the ancient times, it was not a problem because society did not demand from us anything. You knew where you stand in this world. That was the benefit of Varnashrama Dharma, isn't it? You knew where you belong to, where you fit in. By birth or by the society decided that will be. But in the modern world, because it is not like that, we have to become, the person who is engaged in spiritual life has to become more conscious of these things. And he has to know his own body, his own vasana, his own mind, and accordingly that karma that comes to him due to prarabdham also he should know that it has come to him only due to prarabdham. And that realization is important, because unless one knows oneself, it's not possible to move forward in spiritual life. Suppose sometimes you will see misfits happen. Person has no vasana, but due to pressure from the society or from the parents, he has taken to some profession. And in that profession, he is not fitting in very well. His vasanas are different. And then it will be a lifelong struggle for that person, whatever he is doing, isn't it? So these things are there. And it's important to know this, at least, because that Krishna's point is that sahajam karma kaundaya. Karma is born with the person. Not that what you achieved in the world is important. What has come with you from the background, from previous births, in the form of vasana, that karma is what will eventually determine your life in this world. That karma that's come from there. So, number of things here in this topic what we have discussed so far. So, after that we also told about earlier, there are people who have come out of karma. Karma has left them at some point in time, and they will not give it up. Karma has left them and gone away. And that we have spoken. That is earlier mentioned about this. So there, that is that. And then we say that sometimes certain karma in this world, it has come due to prarabdham in that way. Some karma has come due to prarabdham. So, even if there is such karma there in life, and even while executing that karma also, there is a lot of difficulties. For find that a It's a very hard struggle while doing that. But and sometimes you may find that the situation is also not very favorable in many ways. But in spite of all that, still how to stay within that and how to survive there. That is that verse talking about. Sahajam karma kaundeya. See that verse? That's an important verse that people don't understand it very much. Therefore, there's problem. Sahajam karma kaundeya sadosham apinat tyajet. Whatever may be the situation, because karma has born with you, sadosham apinat tyajet. One should not. Sarvaram hi doshena dhume agniri vavrata. I think we have seen that in detail in the last couple of days. So, and karma that has come to us in that way, and what you have accepted as a part of life, in due course of time, you will settle down in that karma, and you will be able to accept it without any further further issues about that. So that is another important point on that verse. So, first thing to understand is, as long as we are ignorant, ajnana dasha means in the state of ignorance, which we are all, you cannot give up karma. That's the first principle. As long as you are in the ajnanam state, ajnana means avidya, ignorant state, which means thinking that I am this body, maintaining the body is important, and in such situations, karma cannot be given up. Ajnana desha, karma cannot be given up. Here, it will say that one who is fixed in the knowledge side, one who is established in the knowledge, he can transcend karma. He is not answerable as far as karma is concerned. So, in that bhashyam, in the commentary, there is a lot of purvapaksha. Purvapaksha means a lot of questions have been raised. In reference to Vaisheshiya Siddhantam, Sankhya Siddhantam, and they also have various points to raise as far as this karma is concerned. But Vedantam says that once you have realized the self, Atma, which means that you have come out of ignorance, avidya, and you are situated on the platform of knowledge, in that case, if you give up karma, it won't cause any problem. You don't have to give it up. It will leave you and go. Because because karma is due to avidya. Karma is due to avidya. That is the first thing. Why we have this impetus to do karma? Because of avidya inside. So if I know that I have karma vasana, I want to do karma, that means I have avidya inside. Even Kundi Devi said this, isn't it? Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bhi, she says. From avidya comes kama, from kama comes karma. That's the sequence. From avidya comes, avidya does not mean, the actual word in English we say ignorance, isn't it? It is not that ignorance what we are talking about here. This avidya is much more deep rooted than that. Right inside our realizations, we are identifying with the body. Whereas ignorance doesn't say like that. Even when you talk about somebody is ignorant, it doesn't mean that. We'll say, oh, he doesn't know how to behave properly, or he's an ignorant man, or that's all we say. Or we will say that he does not know some particular topic, we say he's ignorant about that. But here it's not like that. Here, avidya means it's a deep-rooted subject, this is much more deeper inside us, in all of us present there, due to the presence of which we have mistakenly identifying with the body. That's called avidya. It is due to the presence of avidya that this identification with the body. So till the identification with the body goes away, avidya is not gone. So that means it's a long journey. Is it not? It's a very, very long journey. You cannot well say that you are out of avidya at any point in time till you realize the self and completely free yourself from the body. So, but sometimes, because avidya has created this karma inside, even after you have
vidya. Vidya has developed. Knowledge has developed inside. But still there is possibility that a little bit of karma is still left behind. Inside. A little bit of karma is left behind. Just like they give the example that when you have cataract and when you look at the moon, that when you look at the moon, you see everything in double. There's another moon next to the big one because of the cataract inside. So, but cataract operation also, you realize it that after the operation is done, you realize that there were no two moons at any time when that eye is completely cleared. But till it is completely cleared from the cataract, that realization won't happen. Resolution won't happen. So, that is why Krishna is mentioning there, sarvakarmani manasa. See that verse? It's a very interesting verse. That sarvakarmani sve sve karmani abhirada sam siddhim labhade nara swakarma niradam siddhim yadha vindadi tatshranu yada pravrtir bhudanam yena sarvamidam tadam swakarmani swakarmana tam abhyarcha siddhim vindadi manava. He is saying that swakarmanam tam abhyarcha siddhim vindadi manava. All these verses, sve sve karmani abhyarcha swakarmanam tam abhyarcha siddhim vindadi manava, sve sve karmani abhirada samsiddhim labhade nara. All these statements becomes very important for us, because here what we have to understand is this, that what will happen when that perfection comes? This is the question here. See, in these three verses, Krishna is talking about perfection, isn't it? What does that perfection mean? Perfection is this. See, he says here, sve sve karmani abhirada siddhim sam siddhim labhade nara so karma niradam siddhim yadha vindadi takshrono. One statement. Then in the next verse 46, yada pravartir bodhanam yena sarvamidam tadam sarvakarmanatham abhyarchya siddhim vindadi manava. Another statement. They are all important statements in relationship with karma. And then Shrayan Sodharmo Vigunan Paradharman Samishtidal Sobhavan Edam Karmam Kurvan Mapnodi Kilbisham. Finally, Sahajam Karma Kaundeya Sadosha Vinatyajin Sarvarambe Doshena Dume Agni Vavada. All these four, five verses, if you combine together, you will get an understanding that Krishna is saying it is possible to reach perfection through karmam. Isn't it? He is saying that. And he has spoken various aspects of that. But important thing, finally, when does that become perfect? When do you say you have become perfect? Perfection is that when you get established in the self, at that time you will know karmam has nothing to do with atma. That is perfection. You understand what I'm saying? This karmam is not something to do with atma. Karmam is a part of that subtle body, isn't it? Vasanas are in the subtle body. That's where the karmam is. And that karmam, which is in the subtle body, which is in the form of mind, creates a gross body. So, it has something to do with creating a gross body. But it has nothing to do with atma inside. You see? So, when this Krishna is talking about this perfection here, isn't it? What does that perfection mean? Perfection means this. That you have come to a state, due to being established in the truth, you come to understand who you are and know who you are, the self. Once the self is known, then you know karmam has nothing to do with the self. It's all to do with the subtle body. There ends the story. Everything comes to an end there. That's perfection. So through jnananishtha, you get released from the karma. So, and that is where so, through when you establish in the truth, you realize that in me there is no such thing called karma. At the moment, I have a lot of, I'm geared up, or I have a lot of push in me to do karma.
But that push is not in the self. It is in my mind and in my vasana. And that is what is coming out in the form of this, they call in Shastram as Vegam. Vegam. Vegam means Vajo Vegam, Manasa, Krodha Vegam. All this is called Vegam. Vegam means this propensity or force inside me. That's a force inside me to do the karma. But today I don't know that it is not in me, it is in the mind. All I think it is in me. I have to do it, I say to everybody. I have to do that, I have to do this. But when the realization comes, Krishna is saying, you will know that karma is not in you. It is only in the subtle body. So it's a very important realization to happen at that stage. And this Krishna has spoken before in the fourth chapter. We discussed that at that time. Karmanya agarmaya pashed agarmanija karmaya sabuddhiman manusheshu sayukta krishna karmakrit. Fourth chapter, 18th verse. If you remember. And that these verses are very interesting because it opens up inside and shows to us that we think we know a lot, isn't it? What Krishna is saying to us, you don't know anything about these things. That's very open statement. Karmanya agarmaya pashed. Agarmanija karmaya sabuddhiman manusheshu sayukta krishna karmakrit. That's a very fine statement that is in that fourth chapter. And that is a situation with a realized soul. Karmanya karmaya pashya. Then what's happening? Body may be doing some karmam, but he is not seeing any involvement in that. Karmanya karmaya pashya. Agarmam he is. Even in karmam, it is agarmam for him. So, So you can see, if you in this way, if you continue, that means, if this has to happen, we have to develop this offering karma to Krishna. Otherwise it will not happen. At the moment what we are doing is, we are like in the our university degree, we have the same approach towards Bhagavad Gita also. We are thinking it's another course for us. Like we collected a lot of qualifications from the uni. In the same way, we are collecting this Bhagavad Gita qualification also in the through the mind and the brain. Verses, chapters, chapter number, verse number, and translation purport. That's what we are looking for. That's no good. What Krishna's point is that as soon as you practice this in life, as Krishna has spoken about karmam in the Karma Yogam chapter, and even now, Krishna has concluded, summarized the whole karmam aspect in these verses, isn't it? And if you do like that, that continuously if one is living that life, what will happen is that seed of karma inside will not sprout. It will die within itself. It's a subtle thing. The karma bijam it's called. That karma bijam will die inside. It will get fried inside. The karma vasana, that seed inside, that will fry itself. And Swayam Surupa Prakasham. Surupa Prakasham means your own identity from inside will start coming out, who you are. That means identification with the body will go. Karma is the thing that is binding us close with the body. If that karma vasana goes away, this identification with the body will also go. Karma vasana, karma has got that disadvantage. As long as there is strong karma vasana inside, if you look at that person, his bodily identity will also be very strong. He'll find it very hard to break. Because karmam is the one, the passage is the body for the karmam to come out, isn't it? So, if you have strong karma vasana inside, the passage, which is this body, you will hold on to it very strongly. But if the karma vasana has gone away, the passage is not anymore important for you. You'll be able to move away from the body. That is the important thing Krishna is saying by that. So, and as much as that Swarupanubhuti, that means your own experience of the self starts building up inside, that akarmam, what Krishna has told, akarmanya akarmaya pashe, that akarmam will build up inside. Akarmam nature build up. That means no relationship with the karma inside. Now, you can see, when we say that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, that is the nature of a karmi, isn't it? I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. It's not good enough to say that I am not the doer. It has to be
experienced within. Within ourselves, we have to experience that. And that experience is what Krishna is saying, akarmam. Akarmam state. Karmanya karmaya pashet. Akarmanija karmaya. Sabuddhiman manusheshu sayuta krishna karmakrat. So for, and that state, when it comes to a person, Krishna calls it a sannyasam. That is what is sannyasam means. So sannyasam state is a very different thing what we are thinking about it, is it not? When we for us sannyasam is all, oh, somebody has taken sannyasam and therefore there was a big fire sacrifice. And how saffron color is the dhoti he has got, how the danda is covered with very nice color and a few photographs with all the other sannyasis and put it on the webs and all, then you become a sannyasi. Well, you think, you don't become a sannyasi like that. Krishna's sannyasam is a little different. Krishna is not, there are many, many sannyasis in this world who are wearing white and who never have a danda inside. And they are, right after the leaving the body, they have lived in this world in that way. And only as an honorary degree you give, in the same way, at the time of death, just to complete that formality before leaving the world, they were handed over a piece of cloth of saffron to them. It's called Vidvat Sannyasam. Vidvat Sannyasam. That means that is the proper sannyasa effect inside. So sannyasam is like that. Unfortunately, in the modern world, we give all importance to the external things, isn't it? Krishna never gives any importance to the external thing. It's because Krishna knows it's all useless at the end. What's the use in dressing up somebody as a sannyasi? It will be like Paundraga Vasudeva in the Bhagavatam. Inside is all different. He said he is Krishna, isn't it? Paundraga Vasudeva said. And when he came and told in Dwaraka, that he sent his representative to Krishna, saying that you are not Vasudeva, I am the Vasudeva, he said. So when he came and said this, Ugrasena laughed at it. Everybody laughed, Krishna didn't laugh. Krishna kept quiet. Krishna said, he wants to become like me. Krishna thought like that in his mind. So Krishna said, send a message back saying that I'll be there soon to hand over everything to you back. He said, to the Paundraga. He said to Paundraga. Then he goes to Paundraga, and when he went there, first time in Krishna's life, Krishna laughed, seeing him standing there. Paundraga was the four-handed form, all made of wood, and with conch shell disc, lotus flower and all that. So Paundraga was the when he saw Krishna, Krishna says to him, are you ready now? I brought everything. Shall I give you first, one after the other, hand over everything and surrender to you? First thing I'm going to give you is my disc, he said. And he sent the disc, doom, gone. That's the end of Paundraga Vasudeva. Look at Krishna's compassion. At least he has tried to become like me. He should also go to the spiritual world. Send him back to the spiritual world for doing this. That is Krishna. So that kind of people, that kind of sannyasam if you take, I don't know where Krishna will send us if you do that. But the point is this, if you take Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam seriously, that inside change what has to happen must happen. Otherwise externally whatever you may be, it doesn't matter. After all, it's all based on the body, is it not? So that is why he's saying here that if you do like this way, the way Krishna has spoken, only in that case, that properly who has executed Karma Yogam, in the way Krishna has spoken in all these verses, he alone will have Chitta Shuddhi. Purification will happen only for him. One who has got Chitta Shuddhi, he will get established in the soul. Atmanishta, Jnananishta, Brahmanishta will happen to him. And one who has come to that state, Atmanishta, Jnananishta or Brahmanishta, whatever you may call it, in such a person, all karma will leave him. It won't be there anymore. It would naturally leave because he is established in the knowledge. He is established in the knowledge. And for that person, there won't be any kartratvam, I am the doer. Nor there will be bhoktratvam, I am the enjoyer, results either. So you can see there is a long journey there to come to that state. It doesn't happen very easily. That the subtle side of Bhagavad Gita is more important. that how it affects our life. And if these things are not happening, just to read the translation and tell others that this is what Krishna said in this chair and this is what Krishna is saying somewhere else, it's no good. That if I were to any little degree, if it has happened in this life, that itself is a big success. Because Krishna says that even if some extent you have realized it, it will take you further in the next life. In the next life. Even if you have not become perfect here in this body. So there is so many things in these verses to understand. Main thing is that in the state of avidya, ajnana dasha, ajnanam state, you cannot give up karma. Number one principle. Secondly, you also have to know that one stage, when perfection comes, you will know that through jnana nishtha that there is no karma in the soul. Atma has no karma. These are all important realizations from this verse. In the self, there is no karma. This all we must always contemplate on these things. That to, because whatever vyavaharam you are doing in this world is coming from ajnanam. Ajnanam is the cause of all these things, isn't it? Ajnana dasha, vyavaharam is there, karma is there. In the jnana dasha, vyavaharam goes away, and even if vyavaharam is happening due to some traces of karma inside, he knows very well that karma is not in him, karma is only in the world, in the vyavaharam only it exists. So many, many realizations from these verses. Many, many realizations from these verses. You can properly prepare an article itself based on these 4 or 5 verses and the Karma Yoga to give you a comprehensive knowledge of the whole subject. It is such an important topic. The 3rd chapter, Karma Yoga, is what Krishna has spoken here in these verses. Only thing is, what he hasn't spoken in the Karma Yoga, a few more things Krishna has spoken here. One relationship with the karma. So, that's an important principle. After saying that, Krishna is saying here, a person who has come to realize it like that, that means in the jnana dasha, in the vidya state, if that person, Krishna mentioned also in the Karma Yoga chapter that karmanya karmaya pashyed akarmanija karmaya. Sa buddhiman, manushyesho, sa yukta, krishna karma krit, he says there. Then, even though then, if he has come to that akarmam stage if he has come, and even if he is engaged in karma, actually Krishna says he is not doing any karma. Krishna says if somebody is doing a karma, only if it's creating vasana inside. But one who has realized that in Alpa there is no karma, and if he is situated in the platform of Alpa, for him, what karma? Karma has nothing to do with it. So his karma is akarma. And that person will only do swadharma. That person will only do swadharma. That means he will not go and catch hold of any karma in this world. He will not do that. But Krishna says that the swadharma will come through him. But swadharma he is not doing because he is akarmi. He is not a doer anymore. Even though the sadharma is coming through him, he is not a doer anymore. And therefore he is akarmi. So that state, when one reaches that state, that is called sannyasam. This chapter is about sannyasam, isn't it? Now you can see what sannyasam means. So, and it is a perfection stage. Perfectional state, or where you are experiencing Atma within, Atma's position inside. So that Atmanishtha or Brahmanishtha or Jnananishtha, that is called sannyasam. And that is Krishna's definition. Look at the next verse, how Krishna defines sannyasam. That is the verse number 49. Isn't it? 49. Okay. Look at that. 49. Asakta buddhi sarvatra. Jita alma vigadaspraha. Naishkarma siddhim paramam. Sanyesanadi gacchadi. Asakta buddhim sarvatra.
jitalpavigadaspraha naishkarmya siddhim paramam sanyasena adhigacchati.
That's it.
Asakta buddhi sarvatra jidalma vigadaspraha naishkarmya siddhim paramam sanyasena adhigacchati. One who is self-controlled and unattached and who disregards all material enjoyments can obtain by practice of renunciation the highest perfect stage of freedom from reaction. Perfect stage of freedom from reaction. Krishna is saying there in that verse. So, asakta buddhi sarvatra jidalma vigadaspraha naishkarmya siddhim paramam sanyasenadi gacchadi. It's a very important verse in the sense. I'll explain that a little bit more because in the Acharya Swamiji's Bhashyam on this particular verse, the something to go back and think about it. He had major four disciples, very learned, very all realized souls, and later in his time. He lived about 500 years, I think, before Christ appeared. That means about 2,500 years ago. That's when it happened. Sureshwara, Hastamalaya, Pallavada and Thotaka, the four disciples. Out of them, you have to go back to the time when he lived, his times, their times, in other words. Sureshwara Acharya, he was by age much more older than Acharya himself. Acharya was very young. Sureshwara was very old, very person. He was also, his name was actually Mandana Mishra. Mandana Mishra lived in Bihar, that the current Bihar state. That's where he was. Mandana Mishra. It's a place called Maheshwadi, somewhere near Patna, today's state, Patna. And this Mandana Mishra come through Karma Mimamsa line, Jaimini. Jaimini's Karma Mimamsa they have followed. And at that time, Karma Mimamsa was very popular in the Bharatavarsham. It was very popular at that time. And it was at that time he had been taken to this Karmakandam. Karmakandam is the process. Or what they call performing sacrifices, Yajnam, Karma Mimamsa, whichever way we call that. They're all different names. He took the discipleship of a great personality called Kumarila Bhatta. Kumarila Bhatta was a very well-known person. Well-known means in the sense that if you see Kumarila Bhatta's life, if you read, it is really, it sends shock waves through your body, the way he acted in this world, this Kumarila Bhatta. He, look back into the history, he had to beat Buddhism. Buddhism religion. So, first thing in them days was that if you want to defeat somebody in their philosophy, you have to go and learn about them very well. Not that without knowing anybody, you just call abuse them and saying that, that you're all wrong, you don't know anything, we got everything right. But before you say you're right, you have to study the other person's philosophy, isn't it? You have to know what Buddhism had to say. Only after that, you can shout at them. But in the modern world, it's not like that. We anybody who doesn't agree with us is all nonsense, we say. That's not very good. It's not a very nice way of saying things. So, our Kumarila Bhatta, he decided, Kumarila Bhatta is considered to be an incarnation of Kartikeya, Subramanya, who is, comes as Samba, Jambavadi's son, as Samba in the Bhagavatam. Krishna's son has come, Samba, and Lord Shiva's son is Kartikeya. And he is incarnation, that's a belief about him. Popular belief is that he is incarnation. Therefore that word Kumarila Bhatta, Kumara is his name. Kumarila Bhatta. Kumarila Bhatta wanted to learn Buddhism well before smashing them down. So to know them well, he had to go and join some Buddha Viharam and study there under the Buddhist scholars, isn't it? So you have to know all their arguments before you start defeating them, is it not? So he spent many years when in the he was a Brahmana boy and with a good intelligence, but at the same time, in order to just study Buddhism, he went and joined one Buddha Vihara where they were teaching Buddhism in the Maheshwari place, in the Maheshwari. So what he used to do, he had no faith in this Buddhist philosophy, but he was studying that. So when he's not engaged in the studies, he's engaged in his own sadhana and studying his own shastram. He was very, very intelligent and very much absorbed in the philosophical conclusions. So he had all the books with him, Vedic literature, what he was carrying with him, and he used to keep them with him. But externally, he behaved as though he's a part of the students who were present in that Buddha Vihara. So he was studying there, and privately, he used to think about the Vedic philosophy and the knowledge of the Vedam, authority of the Vedam. He was so convinced about that inside that he could never accept this Buddhist conclusions, not Buddhist conclusions. So sometimes while he was sitting in the class and there were the Buddhist scholars, when they were presenting the truth based on their teachings, tears will come from his eyes, seeing how insulting they were to the Vedic conclusions. He used to cry. Some students who were with him, they noticed this. They knew that he was a very intelligent boy, but at the same time, when they saw tears coming from his eyes, they got a little suspicion. Is he genuine here with us, studying it properly? And so what they did was, they kept an eye on him to know what his intentions are. And he was so good at studies and so studious he was, he picked up everything very fast. And he will ask questions in such a way to the teachers in the class that they couldn't answer him. That was how intelligent, clever he was. So this carried on for some time, and finally they all came to the conclusion that he is not one of us. He has come only with another motive. So what they did, they took him to the 7th floor of the building and pushed him down from there to kill him from the 7th floor. They pushed him down. While coming down, he said that if Vedas are truth, I have been following the Vedic authority strictly, I shouldn't get hurt, he said. This is Kumaralabhata. He jumped down, only thing he got a scratch near his eye. And they say the reason why that scratch happened, it should not have happened anything. Scratch happened because he put this word if in the beginning. If Vedas are true. That means you have still a little bit of if there. That if shouldn't have been spoken. So this happened to Kumaralabhata. And that Kumaralabhata is the one who threw away Buddhism. It is not Shankaracharya, as popular people believe, that the Shankaracharya threw Buddhism away. No, it is Mandana Mishra and this Kumaralabhata, they are the people who actually threw Buddhism away. And that is how they took over from that time. Buddhism and this Mimamsakas, they are called, Karma Mimamsa. Mimamsakas and the Buddhists, they were always in collusion. They were always in collusion. And it was this Mandana Mishra is a disciple of this Kumaralabhata. Kumaralabhata was a famous personality. If you read that book Agni, made by Stoll, Fred Stoll, he was into this a lot. He was a professor in Berkeley University, a huge book called Agni. In there, all these personalities will come. Mandana Mishra and Kumaralabhata and all that. They are very well-known personalities. And if you go back into the traditions of the Vedic times, they are all powerful personalities. You can't believe their influence on the society, what they have, for how long they influence the society with their depth of philosophical knowledge and the authority of the Vedam. So strong is that Karma Mimamsa also. And Jaimini is also from Vedavyas, he has come, isn't it? This Jaimini Sutram, Karma Sutram written by Jaimini. So Jaimini, Karma Sutram, and Jaimini Sutram, which is called, and Mandana Mishra, Kumaralabhata, that's a whole big tradition existing in that way. So at that time, the Buddhism started fading away because of the influence strength of this Karma Mimamsa. And it was at that time, this Kumarala Bhatta, Kumarala Bhatta was very fixed in the Vedic traditions, in the sense that all the Anushtanam he will do strictly. That means he chanted Vedam every day. And in the authority of the Vedam, he has no doubts about that. What the Rishis have spoken, because Vedam, you can see, Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam, Atharvana Vedam, the four Vedam. Majority of the hymns in those Vedam are hymns addressing to the several Devadas in the creation. And he strictly followed that, Karmanushtanam. Karmanushtanam means, what the Yajnam that has been spoken in this Vedam, that Yajnam he has executed properly. He has executed properly. And that discipline in him, discipline was very good in him. That discipline is called Nishta. Nishta it's called. So, along with that, you have to follow the, that means that you got to study that Shastram very well. And practically in life, one has to live that life. You can't have any deviation from there. Not like us today. We study this and we'll do one thing, whatever we like, isn't it? So that's different. It's not that state. They live that life. Whatever that... That was the faith in the Vedam. Authority of the Vedam and the Shastram. They had such strong faith in that. So... And even though he was living in that way, and he followed all the rules, discipline, dharma, which is associated with that, even then, later on what happened to them? Why did they disappear? Why did they disappear? Because... Later on, they made some mistake. What their mistake was that in Karmakandam, their selfishness became stronger. They became started thinking that this is the only truth. And they started criticizing the knowledge side of the Vedam. Karmakandam is very ritualistic, is it not? So the rituals they were following very strictly. And they were keeping the discipline also. But they started questioning the knowledge side of it. Vedam is everything. Jnanam, Karmam, Bhakti, everything is there in the Vedam. So, Karmam they were following strictly, but Jnanam they started criticizing at that time. And they started making this propaganda that Jnanam is not necessary, Karmam is sufficient. Karmam is sufficient. And they are called Karmadha. Karmadha. Karmadha means one who gets stuck like that, completely gets absorbed in the Karmam and ignoring. This happened to many people in the Bhagavatam, you can see. Prajina Barhis, best example. Remember? Prajina Barhis was completely absorbed in karma. And he had no other interest in life except to engage in karma. That's when Srinada Maharshi goes to him and wakes him up and brings him to senses. And then finally he gives up all the karma, everything, and goes away from there. So, and what will happen is, if karmam means this, if it is executed without knowledge, then you will get caught up in that karmam. The result will be, you will become very selfish. And raga dvesham will build up from that. Raga dvesham will develop from that. So, while executing that karma yogam, jnanam must be there to give you the support. Without jnanam, that karma will turn out like this. It will become a selfish thing because the idea will be there will be a motive behind every yajnam or yagam when they perform. And apart from that, that means it becomes selfishness. And then, in addition to that, ragadvesham will build up at that time. So, and once that ragadvesham builds up and also selfishness builds up, then you will become egoistic. Ahangaram will come from that. Ahangaram will come from that. So, if you look at the cycle, how it works, when karmam becomes prominent, and when karmam becomes degraded, Krishna will come in the form of knowledge, and preach knowledge. Preach knowledge. Nothing is permanent here, in spiritual life. Nothing is permanent here. There is... Just like in the modern world, we think that there is one path only, and that's our path is the only right path. And we get stuck in that understanding. That is not right. If you look back into the history, you will see this. When karma becomes prominent, and it will start degrading like this, then selfishness, ragadvesham, everything builds up. And you start criticizing jnanam. What happens? Krishna sends somebody to get rid of that karma mimamsa and to establish jnanam again, back here. Jnanam again here. So, then what happened in the jnanam process? Jnanam, when it goes very strong in a person, unnecessarily it will get too absorbed in the intellectual level. It will go in the intellectual path. And then all the anushtanam will go away. That means sadhana will go and you won't practice it properly. Everybody is lecturing big Vedantam, but nothing in practice. That will happen and there will be no discipline at that time. This is how jnanam degrades. Karmam degrades in one way, jnanam degrades in another way. So at that time, Krishna will come back and bringing karmam again back into it. So similarly, you can see there, so when this karmam and jnanam, both of them do not have any respect in the world, people are not following karmam or jnanam, Krishna will send somebody with bhakti. This is how that system. Everything is controlled from the top. We are thinking that, oh, somebody else has found out a new technique, a new yoga system, and you'll give a new name to it. All those things won't work here. The only thing that will work here is arranged from higher authority, Krishna's arrangement. So, this karmam, jnanam, bhakti, this sequence you will notice happening in the history. Karmam gets degraded due to offensive nature towards jnanam. At that time, Krishna sends someone with jnanam to bring the knowledge back to the Vedam, authority of the Vedam, knowledge of the self. All that thing has to be spoken. Otherwise, people will not be able to realize the truth. And then when jnanam gets degraded in the name of losing all sadhana, but simply becoming a matter for intellectualization, intellectual level, if it comes to that, jnanam is degraded. Then Krishna says jnanam and karma won't work, bhakti has to be preached at that time. So bhakti will come. So this balancing nature is in the prakriti. Prakriti has got this balancing nature. For example, you can see here that Buddha spoke jnanam, Buddha spoke knowledge, isn't it? Then what happened? You can see what Buddha created the problem. Everybody became a sannyasi. Everybody took to this saffron cloth and this begging bowl. Nobody was willing to do any work. Whole society became one. So more sannyasis than the householder. So when that happened, but there is no proper sannyasam. Everybody thought, it's like that, isn't it? If you can see that tendency in the people. If one person becomes a sannyasi, everybody else is, let me also become a sannyasi. Or let me also join the club. This tendency is there in the human nature. So, this was one problem. That Buddha initiated a lot of people into sannyasam, and that became, the whole country is full of sannyasis. Imagine that. So, but they become sannyasis, but none of them, the way Krishna has spoken in sannyasam, about sannyasam. None of them. Therefore, they are called Vedabhahya. Vedabhahya means they are outside the Vedic knowledge. So, these sannyasis whom Buddha has created, they had no shraddha, bhakti or the discipline, nothing in the Vedam. They had no attention in the Vedam. There's no honor or respect towards the Vedam, and they didn't have any of the discipline of the Vedam in their life, except the clothes. So, and when this has happened, the householder life has got affected. Grahastha ashramam got suffering because of that. And what happened was, as soon as there is an argument at home with the wife, immediately you become a sannyasi. We leave home and go. This has become the tradition. A simple, because there will always be fight, isn't it? A small fight you have to pick up, next day he has become a sannyasi. He has gone home. So there are so many stories like that. People have taken sannyasam in that way. So here, what happened was, Kumarila Bhatta said that this is not true. You have to remember, all these things are going on simultaneously
with little bit differences. It's not that one day Buddhism has all gone and karma gandam has come in, or one day karma gandam has all gone, jnana gandam came in. It's not like that. It's all happening same time, in some parts in different ways, some parts in another way. So Kumaralamata thought that this is not correct, that grihasthashramam is suffering because of that. Nobody is entering into, everybody is a sannyasi, and that means the whole society is in a turmoil. So he decided that grihasthashramam should survive in this world. Therefore, he created this pattern of life in such a way, in the Vedic system, that a particular way of life for householder. So this whole karmakandam is directed towards the householder. Not much importance given to the sannyasi there. How to establish a proper householder life in this world so that there is some peace in the society. Otherwise it will be total chaos, isn't it? So that was his idea was that, and he brought back that karma nishtha through the householders, he brought it back. So that means all the householders were busy with karma nishtha, yagam, these things. And this Mandana Mishra is his disciple. So Buddha has created one problem, and to counteract that, Kumaralabhatta has to do a lot of things. And Mandana Mishra was one of the top disciples, a very learned person. And they say that, of course there is no Shastric injunctions, that like Kumaralabhatta is an incarnation of Subramanya, they say that Mandana Mishra is incarnation of Brahma. And his wife, she is Saraswati. She is incarnation of Saraswati. Sarasavani, she is called. So, Ajare Swamiji goes to see him, who, this Mandana Mishra, in Mahishmari. And he, because he has executed this Karmanishta very well, very learned person, well educated and very high standard of spiritual life he had. Because of that, he had good purification inside. Chitta Shuddhi was there in him. Because, as Krishna mentioned before, if your karma yogam becomes perfect, you will get Chitta Shuddhi. Remember? We mentioned that before. If karma yogam becomes perfect, you will get Chitta Shuddhi. If Chitta Shuddhi gets very well, you will get the knowledge inside. It will work inside. And if Jnana Nishtha comes, you will get established in the truth. Brahmanishtha will happen to him. That is the sequence in which follows. So first thing, karma yogam or karmanishtha. From karmanishtha comes chitta shuddhi. From chitta shuddhi comes jnananishtha. And from jnananishtha comes self-realization. That's the process, how it operates within us in a subtle level. So because Mandana Mishra was very pure in the heart, because of executing this karma shuddhi, karmanishtha, because it was done very well, and the Chitashuddhi has happened to him, in such a situation, a guru will come to him. A guru will come to him. He doesn't have to go looking for him, because he is ready. All this arrangement is there in the Prakriti. This whole thing in the modern world, what we are doing is total nonsense, if you ask. What we do, we are making a list of gurus and telling that you be this disciple, that disciple. How does it work? Prakriti has its own way of, if it has to happen properly, it has to happen in this way. Prakriti will make arrangements. If you have studied Shastram, engaged in Karma Yogam, Jnana Nishtha has happened, Chitta Shuddhi has happened, and if a person is ready, it's the duty of the material nature to send that person to you to give you that right instruction at the right time. And that arrangement is there in the Prakriti. Krishna says this. You don't have to worry about it to look for someone at that time. So that means the guru, who is a self-realized soul, as tadvidhi pranivadena pariprasnena sevaya jnaninas tattva darshina. So a jnani who is a tattva darshi will come to you at that time by arrangement from the Prakriti. And you don't have to go looking for him at that time. Because he is matured, pakvam, he is ready for that. So his teacher or spiritual master will come to him. So it was at that time, wife of this Mandana Mishra, she is called Ubhaya Bharati. And she was well learned and realized soul. She was on her own way. She has also come with her realizations from previous life. After all, they say she is Saraswati. So Saraswati means the knowledge, it is in her control, isn't it? So when she has come, and obviously it is all arrangements from the higher level, that so when Acharya Swamiji goes there to see Mandana Mishra, Mandana Mishra is inside the house. That whole episode you have to read, the beauty of that. Acharya Swamiji walks in there with a danda in the hand, and he inquired in the village, where does Mandana Mishra live? Where is Mandana Mishra living? And when Acharya was walking, some women were going to collect water from the well. And when Acharya asked this question, where is Mandana Mishra's home? These women who were collecting the water, they replied in Sanskrit, and that too in a very higher level of Sanskrit, they answered back to Acharya. Acharya got a shock of his life seeing the standard of the people there. They were so highly, even the women were speaking in such a higher level of Sanskrit, who were ordinary women. They were collecting water from the well to collect, bring it home. And the way they spoke was impressed Acharya so well that this is not an ordinary type of people who are living here in Maheshwari at that time. Anyway, they answered back and they told Acharya that glorifying Mandana Mishra, a few things they spoke and told him how to get to his house. So he's walking there. When he got there, Mandana Mishra was busy with some karma anushtanam. Something in the Vedam, he was performing that. Some yajnam he was performing. When he was performing this yajnam, Vedavyasa Maharshi is sitting next to him. Vedavyasa is sitting with him. So imagine his status. Mandana Mishra is performing this. Ubhaya Bharati, that is Sarasavani, Saraswati. Saraswati is her real name, but here she is called Sarasavani or Ubhaya Bharati, they call it. She is sitting there, one side. One side Vedavyasa is sitting, and in the middle Mandana Mishra is sitting, and he is chanting the Vedam, and he is performing this sacrifice into the fire. This is the scene at that time. So, Acharya Swamiji walks in, he is shaved up, sannyasi, isn't it? All shaved up. He's got a begging bowl, sannyasi's bowl, and then he's got the danda in the hand, and only a dhoti is wearing, no anything. So from inside, they noticed that one sannyasi is coming outside and standing outside. Mandana Mishra told him to send word, not to waste time. Don't disturb ours, we are very busy, absorbed in the yagam, in the sacrifice they were performing. There's so much in the karmagandam, it's an endless thing. You can get a glimpse of it if you want to, as I mentioned before in the YouTube, it's there. A glimpse of it, you can get it. But it's such a huge thing it is. You can't even imagine the time required to develop someone to study the Vedam in that way, to chant properly, and to train them up from an early age, 3-4 years old they start, and even at the age of, once they have gone in that direction, then they have no material life after that. Rest of the life they will simply chant the Vedam. That's all. And that was of course meant for those persons who had come with that vasana inside. They are the only ones who will be able to do that. And when you chant them and you observe them, you can see the purity in them, the impact the Veda has created in them. That by chanting for many, many years continuously, they have completely got away from this body and their state of existence. That's another thing. Anyway, karmagandam is a big topic. Mandana Mishra sent a reply saying Acharya to go away. Sent a word saying that we are busy with something else. He just took it that it is another sannyasi has come. Buddha sannyasi or somebody has come like that. It was at that time that Vedavyas noticed who has come. Vedavyas says to Mandana Mishra, no, get him in, bring him in, he said. So Acharya Swamiji walks in. Now there are four people. The big fire is going on. For them, as I mentioned, remember when we discussed Kriya Yogam, I said at that time, them days, fire is the worship. Fire is a representative of Krishna. Deity worship is a modern thing. Probably in the end of Dwapara Yugam, it has started. Now we have, deity worship has become very prominent because of the way people are. But deity was brought in only for one reason, that we could not perform even sacrifices. We become more and more lazy and lethargic and useless. Therefore, we have to do all these things now. So, whatever happened, on fire is going on, Vedavyas, Mandana Mishra, Sarasavani or Saraswati Devi, and now Acharya also, Shankaracharya also went and sat there. Four of them are sitting on the four sides of the fire. And so Acharya is sitting right opposite to Mandana Mishra. Saraswati Devi is sitting opposite to Vedavyas. Vedavyas and Saraswati opposite, Acharya and Mandana Mishra opposite each other. So there is a conversation between them. You can read all this conversation in the books. It's there. That he's asking that what's the purpose of the visit? Ajani Swami says to him that I have come to establish that this yagam is not the perfection. And against karmakandam he argues between them. There's an argument about karmakandam and jnanakandam. He is arguing each other. So when the argument went on for many, many days, there was no conclusions. There's no conclusions. At that time Vedavyas said that we have to have a judge, otherwise this will not end anywhere. Saying that, Vedavyas took a garland and told that this garland, when it fades, then that person will lose. And he put two garlands, one on Mandana Mishra and one on Acharya. So both of them had garlands, and the judge left that to his wife. Acharya Swami said, I have no problem, she can be the judge. And so Saraswati Devi, who is Sarasavani or Ubhay Bharati, she became the judge. Mandana Mishra and Shankaracharya's argument continued. It went on for many days, and one day Mandana Mishra's garland faded and it started becoming drying up. At that time, Acharya Swami was declared as the winner by his own wife, Mandana Mishra's wife, Ubhay Bharati, and agreement was, if Shankaracharya loses the argument, he will become Mandana Mishra's disciple. If Mandana Mishra loses the argument, he will become Shankaracharya's disciple. Now, you have to remember that these are not two ordinary people. These are people who have completely mastered the Vedam, Vedic literature, Upanishads, Brahma Sutram, everything. And Vedavyasa Maharshi was a participant in that for a long period of time. They don't say anything more about that. Afterwards, his presence there. But it is in his presence they are discussing the authority of the Vedam. And Mandana Mishra is coming from the Karmakandam side. Acharya Swami is coming from the Jnanakandam side. So this argument happened. So when he lost, he was given sannyasam. Mandana Mishra was given sannyasam. And his name was given as Sureshwara Acharya. Why that name? Sureshwara means, Surya means demigods. Demigods were pleased by him because of performing sacrifices. He was so expert in performing sacrifices, demigods were highly impressed by our Mandana Mishra. And therefore, he was given Surya Ishwara. Surya means demigods, they are Ishwara, they are controller. That means through his sacrifices, he was able to please any demigod and invoke him. That much strength he had. So powerful he was. So Sureshwara Acharya was born in that way. Mandana Mishra became Sureshwara Acharya. And all the demigods, you have to remember, Karmakandam is very connected with them, with the demigods, isn't it? So he has worshipped all of them and they have become his, more or less, they will listen to him. That was the state. So that Sureshwara Acharya, throughout his life, has performed Karma Anishtanam. Karma Yogam he has performed. He has performed Karma Yogam throughout his life. So, so what happened was, this Sureshwara Acharya, he was brought and he was established, he was appointed as the first Acharya in Sringeri. Sringeri Matam. That means from Sringeri, this happened how 2500 years ago. From then on, successive Acharyas who has come as the Acharyas in the Sringeri Mat. If you read their life, you will see almost all of them practically were highly realized and highly knowledgeable souls who ran that mat. But Sureshwara Acharya is the first personality who was there. So here what happened was, Acharya, Shankaracharya was very pleased with Sureshwara. And he told him that Shankaracharya's Bhashyam, commentary on Brahma Sutram, is famous. Vedantam Brahma Sutram Vedavyasa has written. On Brahma Sutra Bhashyam, Shankaracharya has written. That you can see, it's famous book, Harika Bhashyam. And on Bhashyam also is very difficult to understand. So therefore, to make it easier, what they call it as Vartigam. Call it as Vartigam. Somebody will write Vartigam. Vartigam is commentary on the commentary. Commentary on the commentary. So Acharya Swamiji told Sureshwara to write that commentary on the Brahma Sutra Bhashyam of Acharya. So when he started writing, there were other disciples, Shankaracharya's other disciples. They thought that this person was a Karmagandhi before. So that vasana will be there in him. So when he writes the commentary, will he write it properly? Or will, because just like you can see, when somebody has written a book, somebody else is editing it, that editor's vasana will get into the book. You can't avoid that. That's why this editing business is very dangerous. When somebody has written something, someone hums and he says what he has to say. If you start editing that, then your vasana, without your knowledge even, it will get into it. You will read things like that. There are so many things in our Bhagavad Gita, we can look at that. So the same fear, they were very sensitive people, they are intelligent. So others like Hastamalaka, Thodaka and Palpavada and all that, they thought that if you completely give this responsibility to Sureshwara, and Sureshwara writes a commentary on Brahma Sutra, commentary on the Brahma Sutram's commentary, Bhashyam, it is possible that he will dissolve something into it, his own. That will be unavoidable, he said. Because throughout life, karma was important for him. He lived on that understanding, isn't it? So, when they raised this question to Shankaracharya, that he called, Shankaracharya called him and told him that write it independently. Don't write it as a commentary on my book, but write it as a independent book on your own and let us see how it comes out. And he wrote that book, and that is called Naishkarma Siddhi, that book. You can see what Krishna says here in that verse. Naishkarma Siddhim Paramam Sanye Senadhi Gacchadi. So this Naishkarma Siddhi, that's the title of that book. And Naishkarma Siddhi has come. It's an important word Krishna is using, that sannyasam is connected with Naishkarma Siddhi. It's very close, they are. At Naishkarma Siddhi stage. So that means a person in a state where there is no karma in him and in a perfectly situated in the jnanam. And that knowledge and in the sannyasam. That sannyasam where there is no karma and fully established in the knowledge, that's called Naishkarma Siddhi. Naishkarma Siddhi means that. That he has no karma at that time, completely established in the knowledge, and he has reached that state of sannyasam. That is called Naishkarma Siddhi. So here Krishna also is saying the same word. Naishkarma Siddhim Paramam Sanye Senadi Gacchadi. So Krishna is saying that Naishkarma Siddhi, that perfection, he achieves through sannyasam. Achieves through sannyasam. Where did that sannyasam come from? Krishna says there, Asakta Buddhi Sarvatra. Jitatma Vigatasprha. That is how it comes to that Naishkarma Siddhi stage. Asakta Buddhi Sarvatra. Asakta Buddhi Sarvatra. That means no sakti anywhere. No attachment anywhere. Never, no asakti or no attachment anywhere. He does not want anything and he doesn't want to become anything in this world. These are all necessary qualifications for sannyasam. Why? If you have these qualities, when you see that person, you will be attracted by that. But if you see a sannyasi who is more ambitious than you in this world, world and who is more greedy than you in this world and who is more running after position and followers in this world, you won't be very much attracted, would you? Then you'll be in your mind, you'll be doubting, what kind of sannyasam is this? You'll come there. Here, what Krishna is saying here is that he doesn't want anything and he doesn't want to become anything. And he also knows there's nothing to achieve here in this world. There is nothing to know here anymore. And there is nothing to become here anymore. And there is nothing to be completed here. All that is left him. All these misconceptions in our head, isn't it? This is a perfection of jnanam in a person. When one is in a realized state, this will be that state. He knows very well that he doesn't want anything. What do you want here? Because you know very well that you are established in the self, who you are. Only when you are identifying with the body, you want something. Because of the body, only these desires coming. Isn't it? So that desire has gone away. And you don't want to become anything because you know whatever anybody becomes in this world is all the body, nothing else, isn't it? Even if you have become American president, he will only look at you when you are that body there. When the body has gone, who bothers? Nothing. So nothing to become or nothing, no desires inside and nothing to achieve here because he knows anything you achieve here is has no meaning. And nothing to know anymore because you have known what is to be known, who you are. That's a self. And he also knows that I don't have to finish any work here. There's no work to be done here for me. And all other things. Because of all these things only, we have fear, lamentation, hankering and things like that. That's also had left him. And that state is this Naishkarmya Siddhi. Perfection there. Perfection in that person. So, and in that state, he is not engaged in any meditation or anything. It's not meditated state. Because in order to meditation, you require a mind. For him, the mind is gone. There's no mind in that person anymore. When person who has come to that Naishkarmya Siddhi state, he has no mind anymore. There's no mind anymore. Because when one is engaged in meditation and all that, somebody is meditating, it means that he has got a very strong mind behind it. Because only if the mind you are meditating. So, that you can see. How do you know that? Ashtavakra mentions this. If you look into Ashtavakra's Gita, he will mention this. I am evahi. Te bandha samadhi anidrishtadi. He'll mention this in the first chapter itself that I am eva hi te bandha samadhi anidrishtadi. This is Ashtavakra Maharshi's statement. You have to read who Ashtavakra is in the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada mentions about Ashtavakra. Talking about the different schools of thought. Patanjali, Gautama, Kanada and Vaisheshika and Kapila Sankhyam and also about Ashtavakra, about Vedantam. Vedantam is represented, Ashtavakra represents Vedantam there at that time, among the rishis I'm saying. Ashtavakra is the one who taught Janaka about spiritual life and Ashtavakra's disciple is more or less Janaka and Krishna is referred to Janaka in the Bhagavad Gita. Is it not? Astito Janagadeya, he says. So it's a very strong tradition behind them. So this Ashtavakra mentions there that I am Ayavahide Bandaha Samadhi Anudrishtadi. And that if you are not come to the state what Ashtavakra is talking about, that means you are engaging in meditation. And that itself is a bondage. As far as it's concerned. Because as from Vedanta point of view, if the knowledge has really got inside, and if you have realized it, then artificially you don't have to do anything. The mind is not there anymore. Mind has gone away. It has become you. You have become that, isn't it? Because there's no vasanas inside, and there is total peace inside, because of realization. That's what it is. Because of realization. And when one is in that state, he is always in that meditation state. Remember that? You know, when we talked about that Shamiga Rishi, Sringi's father. When Parikshit Maharaj put that dead snake on his throat, Shamiga Rishi didn't know about it. And Bhagavatam says that he was avastatrayam, he has left. Jagrat Sapnam Sushupti was not there in him. He has gone above that. And he was stated in that situation. So there, it's not happening due to, like in the modern times, we perform meditation courses, isn't it? Meditation classes and all that. The problem with that is, when you leave that meditation class, your meditation is gone. There's no meditation after that. But here, in the Ashtavakra's position is, that if you have reached properly established in that state, then you are always in that state. You don't fall from that. And when you are bringing the mind into something, what it means is that your mind is very strong. Suppose your mind is very strong inside. That is why you are using that mind for something. You see? How you use the mind for various things. So mind has to go. Only when the mind goes, you will get permanently established in the truth. You can't have both. If you have the mind and then you have the truth, you won't be able to stay. Mind will take control of the situation. So and when the mind is there, you can always see that there will be some motive behind it. There will be effort will be there, and you'll also see there, ahankaram will be there, I am there, and parishramam, effort will be there, achievement will be there, attainment will be there, and to becoming something will be there. See that? This is all centered around the ego. Is it not? You can imagine, this is easy to understand, that when you have a mind, because the mind is there, you take it and want to use it somewhere. In spiritual life also, it is like that. Which means that if a mind is working, there will be a motive behind it. There will be a motive behind it. And if there is a motive, there will be effort behind it. And when there is an effort, I will be there. Ahankaram will be there. Parishramam, effort will be there. And you will be looking for some achievement or attainment. After that, and you want to become something at the end. All these things are linked to that. So, that is why he says here, here you can see, we are not conscious of all these things. In the Ashtavakra Gita, and also you will say this, he says there, Sarvabhudeshu chalmanam. Sarvabhudani. Nisango nishkriyositvam suprakasho niranjana. Ayam evahite bandaha samadhi anutishtadi. This is Ashtavakra's statement. He is saying here, Nisangam. Nishkriyosi tvam soprakasham niranjanam ayam evahite bandha samadhi anutishtasi. In the first chapter itself, Ashtavakra Maharshi is saying there that person has no sangam anywhere. Sangam means what? A connection, attachment anywhere. What did Krishna says here? Asakta buddhi. No sakti anywhere. No sakti anywhere. Asakta buddhi. That is nisangada. Nishkriyosi. No kriya. No action from him. That person. So prakasho niranjana. So prakasho means self effulgent. Effulgent means not in the form of light or anything. Realization wise. such a deep realization inside who he is. So prakasham,
niranjanam,
pure. I am evahite bandha samadhi anutrishtasi. He says here that I am evahite bandha. He knows very well that he has no knots anywhere, no bondage anywhere. I am evahi te bandha. Samadhi anitishtasi. The only bondage is when you start thinking that I have to perform sadhana. I am a samadhi anitishtasi. He says here, and then sadhana means, here in particular, jnana sadhana is practicing meditation and samadhi state. And when you start practicing it, abhyasam, in other words, samadhi anidrishtasi, ayam evahi te bandha, that is your bondage at that time. So this is a very elevated state, what he is talking about. This you are talking about whom? People like Janaka, people like Shukha Brahmarshi. They are all in that state. They don't practice any sadhana. They are always in that state. Which state? That is Brahmanishta. That's their state. They don't have to get up in the morning at 4 o'clock and chant our rounds and then become spiritual and all that. No, like we do. We become spiritual after sadhana. After that, then we fall back into the same boat again, isn't it? Then a lot of madness we'll do, whatever it is. So, this is a little different altogether, what they are talking about. That they have reached that state and they are established there. People like Shukha Brahmarshi, Janaka, and now Ashtavakra is talking about Dattatreya and Janabharata. They are all personalities in that level. They are not bound by any rule, any kind of sadhana or conditions or rules or regulations attached to them. They exist in that state. So that is why Krishna is saying the same thing here. Asakta buddhi sarvatra. They have no attachment anywhere in this creation. Then jidalma vigadaspraha. There is no mind to control. That's the state. Jidalma. We trying hard to control the mind, isn't it? But if there is no mind to control, imagine that state. Jidalma. Vigadaspraha. Vigadaspraha means there is no desires even coming inside. When you look at this, you will see they are more or less same like a pure devotee state also. Niravaksham munim shandam nirvairam samadarshinam. That state, it's not much different. That's what I'm saying. When you go through the Jnana Margam, or when you go through the Bhakti Margam, in the final realized state, there is not practically much of a big difference between the two, with Jnani or a devotee. That's why to say Jnanam and Karvam is completely different is not very correct. Because when you come to realization, at the end, more or less they are in the same state. Nirapeksham, Munim, Shantam, Nurvairam, Samadarshinam. All those things is put here also. Jidalma, Vigadaspriha, Asatta, Buddhi, Sarvatra. What else is that? So, that is what Krishna is saying here also. So, that person who has come to that state, that is, Krishna calls it as Naishkarma Siddhi. Naishkarma Siddhi Paramam. Which means that he has no attachment anywhere. He has no attachment anywhere. Practically you can say, he is the most beautiful human being. He is the most beautiful human being. Perfection in human body. Because of the state of consciousness. State of consciousness. These qualifications in him imperfectly situated. Because such a person, you can trust him. Such a person, you can trust him. And you can listen to him. Because there's no attachment anywhere for that person. And only in that case, when he comes to that state, he will have a pure love for other living beings. His love will be pure. It won't be motivated in no way. There will be no motivation inside. It will be flowing freely from inside in a pure form. And he has no speciality towards anything. He doesn't consider. Veda Buddhi is not there in him. This person is my friend, this is my enemy. That is gone from inside. Or he is good, he is bad. All these ideas goes away from there. And no hate towards anybody. no attachment, and he doesn't find anybody special in this world, and doesn't have any attachment to anyone, and doesn't have any hate towards anybody. And that means there is also no ragam dvesham inside that person. Jidalma. Krishna uses the word jidalma. Jidalma means mind is dissolved. There's no mind anymore inside. And at the same time, because mind is gone, experience of the self inside. Atma anubhavam. And vigadaspriha. Vigadaspriha means he has no spriha. Spriha means no speciality towards anything. Doesn't consider somebody is special and somebody is not special. Everybody is Atma inside. Very higher realized state, isn't it? So that is, this is the important thing, that when we don't accept these things, what Krishna has spoken, what will happen? If we don't accept all these things, what will happen is, we will start acting in this world based on our vasana. And our vasana normally is to pick and choose from people. Is it not? We will see, this person is important, that person is not important. This picking and choosing will start. Veda buddhi will develop. When there is no knowledge, we will start treating people with Veda buddhi. And if you start doing that with Veda buddhi, then you are going down the drain. That's the important principle here. These verses are, Krishna is explaining to us, a man who has reached that state, one who has come to that state, how will he be? We have to know that, isn't it? Otherwise, how can we proceed further? Simply doing karma whole life is not the answer to the problem. So, no speciality here, and no spriha has gone away from inside. Therefore, naturally, because it has come to that stage, all his attachment in this world has fallen away. And he also knows that he has nothing to gain in this world by doing some karma. He has to get something from here. And that state, a person who is in that state, that's what Krishna is saying here. Naishkarma siddhi paramam sanye senadi gachari. That paramam. Paramam means paramam naishkarma siddhi, which means free from karmam completely, and perfection, and sanye senadi adi gachari. He achieves that through sannyasam. In fact, what it means is that when everything has gone away from him, attachment has gone away from him, for him, jnanam sannyasa lakshanam. There, that knowledge or that flow of realization from inside without any hindrance, because it's flowing freely from inside, experience of the soul from within, without any interruption, vichiti or breakup. That means it's not causing any kind of block anywhere. Always, if you look at that person, you will see that shanti or peace inside him. And that peace did not come by doing something. It didn't come due to doing something. Instead, or it didn't happen by thinking about it or by any sadhana. It didn't happen. But without any sadhana, perfectly situated in his own swarupam, in his self-identity. In the Bhagavatam, you will notice a lot of people who have reached that state, isn't it? Who, even Yudhishthira Maharaj came to that state. Remember, before he left this world, when Arjuna came back from Dwarka and to Hastinapur and told Yudhishthira everything what has happened, Krishna's arrangement was such that he threw away everything. There's a whole description how Yudhishthira looked like at that time. Not caring for the body. Walking away and going towards the Himalayas for the what is called the Mahaprasthanam. Pandavas Mahaprasthanam. That chapter is an important chapter in the first canto. Pandavas Mahaprasthanam. There you will notice Yudhishthira's state at that time. You didn't look back. That is Krishna's grace to him. That he reached that state very quickly and he left this world in that way. No more consideration for this world, what goes on here. He told Parikshit, Parikshit was 16 years old at that time, put him on the throne and told him that as far as I am concerned, time has come for me to go. Krishna has gone, there is no point for me to stay here anymore. I'm walking away and administer this planet as per Krishna's instructions, remembering Krishna, and do what you have to do. Saying this, he walked out from there. That's a very, very touching scene that is in the Bhagavatam. So, Yudhishthira was like that, Janabrata was like that, Rishabhadev was like that, Dattatreya Maharshi was like that. So many personalities you will see in the Bhagavatam alone in that state. What Krishna is saying here. Asakta buddhim sarvatra jidalma vigadaspraha maishkarma siddhim paramam sanyasenadi gachari. None of these personalities had the saffron clothes or danda in them. But they were all in that state. So you know what I'm saying, that Krishna has not even spoken about the dress anywhere. But we caught up in the dress. Yeah. This is our misfortune. This is how spiritual we are. It's a symptom of our spirituality, where we stand. If dress is what is going to impress you in the spiritual life, then heaven help us. That's all I can say. If dress is the whole thing, if it's centered around. But this is what attracts people today. Other side, people are not bothered. Has he got the right dress? Then you're okay. This is how we are. So that's a sad thing, isn't it? So therefore, in that process, the message gets lost. Whole focus is on the dress, what he has got. Anyway, policeman has his dress, and we also need our dress. So that Naishkarma Siddhi is that state. Krishna is saying here that all the things have left him which causes asakti. Which causes asakti. Asakta buddhi sarvatra. Asakta buddhi sarvatra. Why? Because all those things what was causing asakti had left him. And all his inside, andhakaranam, subtle body, the mind, everything has completely filled with atma, the soul, realization of the self. There, he is not doing anything, he is not making anybody to do anything, and the peace has come inside, and the experience of Brahman is perfection inside. What Krishna spoke in the second chapter? Yesham Brahmistiri. That Brahmistiri had come to him. And that is the next verse, if you look. 50. Text 50. Siddhim prapto yatha brahma.
Siddhim prapto yatha brahma.
Tadhatnodi nibodhame.
Tadhatnodi nibodhame.
Samaseneiva kaunteya.
Samaseneiva kaunteya.
Nishtajnanasya yapara.
Nishtajnanasya yapara.
Siddhim prapto yatha brahma.
Siddhim prapto yatha brahma.
Tadhapnodi nibodhame.
Tadhapnodi nibodhame.
Samaseneiva kaunteya.
Samaseneiva kaunteya.
Nishtajnanasya yapara.
Nishtajnanasya yapara.
Siddhim prapto yadha brahma. Tadha apnodi nibodhame. Samaseneiva kaunteya. Nishtajnanasya yapara. O son of Kunti, learn from me how one who has achieved this perfection can attain to the supreme perfectional stage, Brahman, the stage of highest knowledge. By acting in the way, I shall now summarize. So from now on, that process is being spoken. How you will, who achieved this perfection, can attain the supreme perfectional stage, Brahman realization, stage of highest knowledge. By acting in the way, I shall now summarize, he says. So this is what it is leading to. So Krishna spoke about the highest state of jnanam in the last verse, is it not? In the last verse, asakta buddhi sarvatra, that naishkarma siddhi is that state, perfectional state. So after saying that, he says to Arjuna that that when he has reached that naishkarma siddhi state, how the established there, how he is established. Siddhim praptaha. What he is saying here is, if you
look at that verse. Siddhim prapto yadha brahmam tadapnodi nibhodhame samasenaiva kaundeya nishta jnanasya para. So siddhim prapta swakarmana ishwaram samabhyarcha tal prasadjam kaya indriyanam jnana nishta yogyada lakshanam siddhi prapta idi tadanuvadam uttarartha. So there, that suppose one engage in the karma, what has come to him, and through that karma he is worshipping Krishna, and Krishna is pleased by his life, and from there he will derive that benefit in his body as well as in the senses, and one who reaches that state, that means he has executed his karma in the proper way, pleased Krishna. And you will know when that is pleasing Krishna, that Krishna's happiness of you being engaged, situated properly, will reflect in your body and the mind and in the senses. And at that time, Krishna is saying here, he reaches certain perfection. And that perfection is what he is referring here, siddhim prapto yadha brahmam. See that siddhi, he says. Siddhi is that. That you are executing this karma yoga, what Krishna has spoken before, properly. And because you have executed it so well, Krishna is pleased with you. Because Krishna is pleased with you, it will, that happiness, Krishna's satisfaction, will reflect in your body and the mind. Siddhim prapto yadha brahmam tadapnodi nibhodhame samaseneva kaundeya nishta jnanasya para. What will happen? Kim tad uttaram yadharthaha anuvada idi upyade yadha yena pragarena jnana nishta rubena brahma paramatmanam apnodi tatha tam pragaram jnana nishta prapti kramam me mama vajana nibhodatvam nishchayena avadharay iti etad. Means that this person, because he has executed this karma yoga very well, got himself purified. Chitta Shuddhi has happened. Because of Chitta Shuddhi, he is ready for the knowledge to come to him. And therefore, Krishna has arranged for him to have the knowledge to him. And when that process happens, when that knowledge comes to him, how that develops in him, that's what is explained in this verse, coming verses. Said, how to get that jnananishta? Up to this time, he was karmanishta, isn't it? He had karmanishta up to now. Due to karmanishta, chitta shuddhi has happened. When chitta shuddhi has happened, he is ready for jnanam. So, how he will get established in that jnanam is called jnananishta. And that is what Krishna is going to talk about in the next few verses.
Siddhim prapto yadha brahmam tadhapnodi nibhodame samasenaiva kaunteya nishta jnanasya ya para.
Para nishta jnanasya in jnanam. How he will establish in that jnana nishta, Krishna is saying here. So, how will he know brahmam at that stage? No means jnanasya ya. See how the word Krishna has used here? Jnanasya ya. He uses the word,
Siddhim prapto yadha brahma tadhapnodi nibhodami
nishta jnanasya para. Jnanasya para nishta. So, how jnanasya? That means the highest level of self-realization. Yadha brahma prapnodi tadha nibhodami. That means the end of your spiritual life. End of what?
End of what he's saying here is that
yadha yena pragarena jnana nishta rupena brahma paramatmanam apnoti తథాతం ప్రకారం జ్ఞాననిష్ట ప్రాప్తి క్రమం మే మమ వచన నిబోధత్వం నిశ్చయేన అవధారయ ఇది ఏతద్. కృష్ణ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ దట్ దట్ జ్ఞాననిష్ట బై విచ్ యూ విల్ రీచ్ దట్ పర్ఫెక్షన్ అండ్ ట్రై టు అండర్స్టాండ్ దిస్ కేర్ఫుల్లీ. కృష్ణ సేయింగ్ కిం విస్తరేణ న ఇది అహ సమాసేన ఏవ సంక్షేపేణ ఏవ హే కౌంతేయ. కృష్ణ సేస్ దట్ దట్ సమాసేన ఏవ సంక్షేపేణ దట్ మీన్స్ యథా ప్రాప్నోది తథా నిబోధ ఇది అనేనయా ప్రతిజ్ఞాదా బ్రహ్మ ప్రాప్తి తాం ఇదందయా దర్శయితుమాహ నిష్ఠా జ్ఞానస్యయా పరాయితి నిష్ఠ పర్యవసానం పరిసమాప్తి ఇత్యేదత్ కస్య బ్రహ్మ జ్ఞానస్య యా పరా పరిసమాప్తి. పరిసమాప్తి మీన్స్ దట్ వెన్ యూ రీచ్ దట్ ప్రాపర్ జ్ఞాననిష్ట ఎస్టాబ్లిష్ ఇన్ ది నాలెడ్జ్ పరిసమాప్తి మీన్స్ దట్ you will achieve that knowledge of Brahman, Brahma Jnanam, and you will also have Brahma Prapti. That means you will be fully have the knowledge and you will be established in that state, both Brahma Jnanam and Brahma Prapti. Kidrisha sa yadrisham alma jnanam, kidrittad yadrisha alma, kidrisha sa yadrisha bhagavada uktaha upanishad vakesha nyayataha cha. So, if you ask the question that when you reach that stage, the end, parisamapti, and the knowledge of the self, how will that be? What will be the difference there? You have reached that state and the knowledge of self. The answer is very clearly saying that you will know your Atma, nothing else. That is that state. You will know you are the Atma and there is no further to know anything. You reach the final destination, you will know that at that point. At this moment in time, in us, we still have a desire to know more, isn't it? That's not going away, it's still staying. What does that indicate? That means you have not reached the state. That's why inquiry goes on further. Remember, we say Brahma Jijnyasa, Athado Brahma Jijnyasa. Brahma Jijnyasa is that, is an indication that there is something still unknown to us. But this Alpanishta, when this stage comes, Nashkarmasiddhi, that stage comes, the very person who has been inquiring, he won't inquire anymore. Why? Because he has got it. He realizes that there is nothing else to be known after that. And if there were no customers like us, all these courses, seminars won't be going on. Isn't it? They need customers also, and we are, there should be people to ask and realization. So that is what Krishna is saying here, that will be like that. It will be that state. That samsara samasayaneva kaunte nishta jnanasaya para. So Atma jnanam, knowledge of the self is that nishta, that establishment. So what happens there? You know that I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, I'm not this intelligence, but then I know who I am. That's that state. Now we say, I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, but I don't know who I am. That's our present state, isn't it? At least we say that to others, I'm not this body, Prabhu. But then if we ask you, then who are you? I'll say, oh, I'm spirit soul. Oh, nice to meet you, Mr. Soul. What meaning has it got? Nothing. So that is what Krishna is saying here, that I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, I'm not this intelligence, but then I know who I am. And I know that I'm pure spirit soul, prajna, bodham, awareness, chidagasham, chitswarupam, so many words in the Bhagavadam, isn't it? So that's what he's saying here. Kidrisha sa yadrisham. Kidrisha sa yadrisham. Alpanyanam kidrisham alpmana. కీదృశ సహ యాదృశ భగవదా ఉక్తః భగవదా ఉక్తః ఉపనిషద్ వాక్యేశః. హి సేయింగ్ హియర్ దట్ త్రూ ఉపనిషద్స్ అండ్ త్రూ న్యాయం అండ్ వేరియస్ వేస్ కృష్ణ హాస్ స్పోకన్ అబౌట్ దిస్ జ్ఞానస్య పరా దిస్ స్టేట్. ఇఫ్ యు ఆస్క్ దట్ క్వశ్చన్ విల్ ఎవ్రీబడి క్యాన్ రీచ్ దట్ స్టేట్ అండ్ ది ఆన్సర్ ఇస్ దట్ దిస్ ఆల్మా. Problem is that you can't see it with the eyes. You can't hear the Atma with your ears. And you cannot know it as an object outside you. So it's not easy. It mentions here in the... There's so many arguments mentions about this. Here it says here, Kejit tu panditam manya nirakaratvat atma vastu na upaiti buddhihi adaha dusadhyam samyak jnana nishta iti ahu. This is the problem with this knowledge of the self. You cannot see it with your eyes. You cannot hear about Atma. What Atma, experience it through ears. None of the senses you can experience it. And you cannot know it as an object outside you, outside the body. Mind can do all these things, isn't it? Mind is capable of doing and hearing about an object outside, seeing an object with the eyes, hearing an object with the ears. And mind can only know something which is outside us. Like that, say, if Prabhupada's picture, I can see with the mind, I can get a form about that. But I can't experience it inside. Atma, exactly opposite. You can't see it outside, you can't hear about it, and it's not an object outside you, it's inside you. It's inside us. So that's where realization has to happen. Only inside, it's not possible outside. It's not possible outside. So, that's the important point. And and for whom it's not possible, so those who have realized it, for them it is possible, when he realizes inside. Then in the next verse he's saying that it is not possible satyam evam guru sampradaya rahitanam ashuda vedantanam atyanta behirvishaya asakta buddhinam samyak pramaneshu agrada shramanam tad vivaridanam tu laugika grahya grahaka dvaita vastuni salbuddhihi nidaram du sambadyam atma chaitanya vidiregena vastu andarasya anubalabdhe. He's saying here that that's all true what is spoken. You cannot see it outside, hear outside, and it's not an object outside. It is right inside me. But if you do not follow the Vedic tradition, that's the where it will, it is, and understanding the Vedic philosophy through Upanishads, Brahma Sutram, and literature like that. And unless one takes to that seriously, only then it can happen. And one who does not have the knowledge of this literature, he is the one who will teach you that everything can be outside. You will realize the truth. One who does not have the knowledge of the self inside, of the Vedic literature, of Brahma Sutram, Upanishads and all, and that people, those they will teach you that you can realize the truth outside, not inside. And whereas one who knows that realization has to happen inside alone, for him dvaita buddhi won't be there. Dvaita buddhi. Dvaita means, you know what dvaita means, isn't it? Dvaita, yeah, duality. Dvandvam inside. It will not be there. So, it's 10 to 4. We'll have a short break.
Cheto darpanam arjanam vavamaha davagni nirvavanam shreya kaitava chandriga vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam Anandam univardhanam pradipada purnamrada swadhanam sarvatma savanam param vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam nana magari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrapidani amita smarane nakala edadrashi tava kripa bhagavan mamapi dudaiva bhidrashamiha jani nanubhragaham Bhishunichena Harorabi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Madhanam Majanam Masundarim Majagadisha Kamaye Mamajanmani Janmani Shwari Bhavadad Bhaktirahe Dugitvayim ಅಯಿ ನಂದನುಜ ಕಿಂಗರಂ ಪತಿತಾಮಾಂಶಮೇ ಭವಾಂಬುದೌ ಕೃಪಯಾ ತವ ಪಾದಪಂಕಜ ಸ್ಥಿತ ಧೂಳಿ ಸದೃಶಂ ವಿಚಿಂತಯ ನಯನಂಗಳದಶ್ರುಧಾರಯ ಪತನಂ ಗದ್ಗದರುದ್ಧಯ ಗಿರಾ ಪುಲಕರ್ನಿಚಿದಂ ಕದಾ ವೋ ಭವಂ ಮಾಮ ಗ್ರಹಣೇ ಭವಿಷ್ಯತಿ ನಿಮೇಷೇನ ಚಕ್ಷುಷಾ ಪ್ರಾವಿಶಾಯಿದಂ ಶೂನ್ಯಾಯಿದಂ ಜಗಲ್ ಸರ್ವಂ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಹೇ ನಮೇ ಶೇಷವಾ ಪಾದರದಾಂ ವಿನಷ್ಟುವಾಂ ದರ್ಶನಾಂ ಮರ್ಮಹದಾಂ ಕರೋತು ವಾ ಯಥಾತದಾ ವಾ ವಿದಧಾತು ಲಂಬಡೋ ಮಲ್ಪ್ರಾಣನಾಥಾಸ್ತು ನೇವನಾಪರಾ.
ಸೊ ಸಿದ್ಧಿಂ ಪ್ರಾಪ್ತೋ ಯಥಾ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ತಥಾಪ್ನೋದಿ ನಿಬೋಧಮೇ ಸಮಾಸೇನೈವ ಕೌಂದೇಯ ನಿಷ್ಠಾ ಜ್ಞಾನಸ್ಯ ಪರ ಜ್ಞಾನನಿಷ್ಠಾ. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಟಾಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಹೌ ದಟ್ ಜ್ಞಾನನಿಷ್ಠಾ ವಿಲ್ ಕಮ್ ಇವೆನ್ಚುಲಿ. ಸೊ ಆನ್ ದಟ್ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಕಮೆಂಟ್ರಿ ಇಟ್ ಸೇಸ್ ದೇರ್ ದಟ್ ದೋಸ್ ಹೂ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ because this Atma cannot be seen by the eye, cannot be heard by the ear, and it's not an object outside us. That is the biggest problem, isn't it? I mean, we will go and look for everywhere, from the North Pole to South Pole, we'll inquire if it's outside. But if it is inside, we won't put any effort. This is our biggest problem. If it is North Pole, we will go. If it's South Pole, also we'll go, find out if it's there, the Atma. But if it is inside me, I won't put any effort. Still, I'll be looking outside. That is the difficulty. So, those who have Ashrutha Vedantanam, that means one who does not hear all these what Krishna has spoken here in the Bhagavad Gita, Ekadasha Skandam, then of course, Vedavyasa Maharshi has spoken a lot in the Brahma Sutram and Upanishads and everything. So, if you don't hear all those things, but those who are very attached to the topics outside in the world, where all the attention is outside in this world, and for them who are not willing to give a little time to go inward, to look about that, and without considering all what Upanishads are saying, Brahma Sutram is saying, Bhagavad Gita is saying, all of them, and those who are not aware that the research has to go on inside, not outside, for those people, it will be very difficult. This realization will be very difficult. Krishna is saying that siddhim praptyo yatha brahmam tathapnodi nibodhame samasenaiva kaunteya nishta jnanaseya para. Para jnana nishta is difficult, he's saying there, that unless one has that nature of going inwards. So he also says here, yaja etad evam na anyadha idi avochama uktam cha bhagavata yasyam jagrati bhuvanani sa nisha pasyado mune. Remember that verse in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita itself, Krishna has said that yasya jagrati bhudani sa nisha pasyado mune. 69 verse, I think it is 269. Often devotees read that verse. Yanisha sarvabodhanam samyami. Isya jagrati bhudani sanisha pasyato muni. Sanisha pasyato muni. Is it 69? Yes. 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 Yanisha sarvabhudanam tasyam jagrati samyami Yasyam Jagrati Bhudani Sanisha Pashyado Mune 269. What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled. And the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. So, in the second chapter itself, Krishna said that what is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled, and the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. Which means that unless there is introspection, unless there is looking inward nature in a person, spiritual life is going to be very, very hard. Very, very hard. If there is no introspection. Because if our nature is such that everything external, outside, 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 all the search is outside, after a long time what will happen is, you won't find it outside. Only after that you will start looking inside. That's what will happen. Whole life you will waste looking for it outside, and then one day you will see that it's not anywhere outside. The only you have to come to that understanding, then only the inward inquiry will begin. Up to that time it won't happen. That's what he's saying here. Yasyam yanisha sarvabhodhanam yasyam tasyam jagrati samyami. That this is talking about a person who has no spiritual interest. Spiritually, this understanding. For him, night and dark. What is night and dark for him? For him, the night and dark is there he is in darkness, which means he is not inquiring about the truth. He is searching outside. Yanisha Sarvabhudana. Sarvabhudana means all living entities. It's dark for him. Tasyam Jagrati Samyami. But one who has a spiritual realization or who is in the spiritual path, he is woken up at that time. The other person who is outside searching, that means it's darkness for him. This person in the spiritual life, he is conscious of his state. He is Jagrati. Jagrati means he has woken up to the truth. Inside, it is there inside that he has to serve. There is nothing outside. He knows that. Therefore, he has woken up. Because he knows that, there is nothing outside. Whereas, everyone else in this world thinks that everything is outside. Isn't it? So, tasyam jagrati samyami. Then, yasyam jagrati bhutani. If the living entities who are not in the in the spiritual life, who is busy, their vacant state is outside in the world. His vacant state. This person who is not interested in spiritual life, who is leading a life of sense gratification or attaining something in this world, perfection or whatever it is, all those things, he is in the vacant state, he is doing that. So, he's saying here, Yasyam Jagrati Bhutani, that is his vacant state. And that vacant state is darkness for this person. Sa nisha pashyato muni. It's a darkness for him because muni knows that that state is harmful for him in his spiritual path. That's that verse is talking about. Isn't it? Then Prabhupada explains that one is intelligent in material activities for sense gratification and the other is introspective and awake to the cultivation of self-realization. Activities of the introspective sage or thoughtful man, that is night for persons materially absorbed. Materialistic persons remain asleep in such a night due to their ignorance of self-realization. Introspective sage remains alert in the night of the materialistic man. Sage falls transcendental pressure in the gradual advancement of spiritual culture, whereas the man in materialistic activities being asleep to self-realization dreams of various varieties of sense pressure, feeling sometimes happy and sometimes distressed in his sleeping condition. The introspective man is always indifferent to materialistic happiness and distress. He goes on with his self-realization activities undisturbed by material reactions. So that's the same thing here. It's also the same Krishna is saying here that only that person who is woken up, he can have that he can know the truth. Otherwise, it is not possible. So that waking up is important. Waking up is important. Only then there is he can go to the next stage. Tasmat bahyagara bheda buddhi nivrti eva atma swaroopa alambane karanam nahi atma nama kasyachil kadachit aprasiddha prapto heya upadeyova. So first thing what happened is to that person is he gets freed from the external forms. Because when your attention is outside in the world, you are attracted by the name and form. Is it not? So when you are attracted by name and form, it will definitely influence you. It is difficult to stay out of it. But if your attention has gone away from the world outside, that is the only way that this inward-looking nature will develop. Knowledge of the self, anybody can receive that. And that is not to be accepted or rejected. That's another side to it. Knowledge of the self is there in everybody. This is the most important thing. It's there already there. It's not something new is going to come from outside. What we are hearing about in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and all Upanishads is only for one purpose, to take the attention from outside to inside. That's not happening. In spite of hearing Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam so much, it's not going away. Still getting attracted to outside recognition, outside name, outside fame, and outside achievement, all this, the priority is still in the mind. You can hear 100 years Bhagavad Gita, but still there is no result will come. No result will come. It will all remain simply as a, what do they say? Simply as a, I heard all this sometimes, but nothing has happened. Why? Because outside recognition, outside acceptance, something in our psyche is telling us that I have to do these things outside, only then I will get that result. That's what Krishna is pointing out in this verse here. That till the attraction does not go away from the outside world, where we want recognition, we want to feel some kind of satisfaction from there, Krishna is saying that this problem will remain. Bahyagara Veda Buddhi Nivrtihi. That is what it is. Bahyagara Veda Buddhi Nivrti. Because as soon as you have this attraction outside the world, then Namarupam will get inside. Namarupam will get inside. Veda Buddhi will come from that. And Bahyagara Veda Buddhi, from there Nivrti. One has to come out from that. And the only hope at that time is Atma Swarupam Alambanam, dependent on the nature of the Atma. And Nahi Atma Nama Kasajil Adajit Aprasiddha Prapto Hey Ubadeva. That knowledge of the Atma is not going to come from outside. If self-realization has to happen, it has to happen from within. Antaryami has to reveal that to us. It's not by studying book that it will happen. And all what we are doing is that ajnanam or avidya, which is covering that knowledge, we have to take it out. That's all. Knowledge is already there in everyone. Because if Atma is there, it means knowledge is there. And there is no proof required that Atma is present inside, isn't it? Atma is present in everyone. So because Atma is there, the knowledge is also there. All we have to do is this ajnanam or avidya inside us, which is covering that knowledge, has to be thrown away. That's all Krishna is saying here. Aprasiddhehi. Then he says, that, yes, therefore, bahyagara vedabuddhi nivrtihi. That means, namarupams which are present outside, that should go from inside, vedabuddhi must go. Veda buddhi must go, and then it will go inward looking. Andharmukhatvam is not happening because of Veda buddhi in us. That's the problem. When there is Veda buddhi, you can see when Veda buddhi works within us, how it affects us, isn't it? Veda buddhi is nothing but Maya's another way of capturing us. And Atma Anubhavam is very difficult when there is Vedabuddhi. When there is Vedabuddhi. Here also says, Ataha Atyanda Prasiddham Jnanam Jnada Abhi Atayeva Prasiddhaidi Tasmat Jnane Yatno Na Kartavyaha Kimtu Analpa Buddhi Nivrto Eva Tasmat Jnanam Nishta Susambhadyaha. So, to get that knowledge of the self, all what is main thing required is, he says here, that somehow or the other our intelligence, buddhi, which is at the moment centered around analpa vastu, which is not atma, analpa vastu, which means other people, other objects, outside me. If my buddhi is centered around all the people outside, objects outside, that's all analpa vastu it is. If my buddhi break away from that analpa vastu, in that case, atma buddhi will start working. You see, when my buddhi, when it comes away from analpa vastu, buddhi from the will work with the atma vastu. Atma buddhi will start working. That so jnanam or knowledge or realization is not such a big thing as far as Shastram is concerned, except that this obstacle what we have got, that means our attention in the world, attention in other people, attention in the recognition here, and so many things like that, all that is, they are the one which is causing this problem, not allowing us to get back to Atma. If we remove everything, analpa, from inside, then naturally atma will come. Atma is not able to come up now because of the presence of analpa inside. And our surupam will manifest naturally. Therefore, Krishna is saying here that to know that atma, a lot of pramanam, is not documents or proof is not necessary on the strength of this. That's what the conclusion is. Conclusion is this, that atma inside we have to realize. Our attention is always on the analpa vastu, other people, other objects, external world. If all the time attention is in these states, Krishna's point is that is your ignorance, avidya. Avidya is this buddhi has gone into analpa vastu. If the buddhi leaves, the break away from analpa vastu, in a natural way, buddhi will turn towards atma vastu. That's all it is. And then you will experience everything what Krishna has spoken. There's nothing more to it than that. And Krishna is saying, no pramanam is necessary. No proof is necessary for that. It has to happen through experience. Proof cannot help you here. Any text says, any Vedam says, any Shastram says, that's not the way to get there. The way to get there is to take this attention from the world, on the Namarupam outside and the name and form. So, after saying that, he says here, that Tasmad, Yadha so dehasya parichedaya na pramanam andara abeksha tada avi altmanaha andarada matuad andarada matuad tadavagadim pradi na pramana andara abeksha idi altmanyana nishtha viveginam suprasiddham idi siddham. Just like to know my body, I don't require any external help, is it not? My own body, I know my body. I don't have to ask somebody else about my body. My body, I know what is going on. To some extent in me, this body I am carrying with me, it's with me. So, pramanam is not required. Proof is not required. Similarly, like body, the atma is also inside. And to know that, I don't require any documentary proof or any other external source. Like body, I don't want anything external to know what's going on inside body. For example, if I'm feeling pain in the stomach or headache, something like that, I know that. Somebody else don't have to tell me that, oh, you're having stomach ache or headache. No, I know it. I am experiencing it myself, isn't it? Similarly, Atma is like that. Those who have that proper discrimination power, they will experience the presence of Atma much easier than those who have studied the books or anything like that. That's what Krishna is saying here. So, and he says here, there is nothing so close to us like Atma. Atma is our closest identity, isn't it? And because you can see, it is this Atma, what Krishna is saying, that tuck, 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 tuck goes on inside. His presence there, he is repeatedly mentioning this to us in the form aham, aham, that awareness going on inside. So that is because everything is so proven like this. First of all, says Atma is present inside. Presence of the Atma is experienced through this awareness inside, aham, aham. And that alone, Krishna has spoken in the Ekadashi Skandam, is in the form of this tuck, 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 goes on inside. And and this thing, that because it's going on, Vedantam says that this is the most amazing thing in our life. And therefore they say, what are you talking about, your effort? Where is the effort for us to play any role here? Effort is always to get something from outside, to achieve something outside. But something what you have got already, and which is already indicating the presence through its this beating going on inside, still you are saying you have to go outside and work for it. Is that not stupid? That's what he's asking. That's what he is saying. That is why you will see Nitya, Siddha, Buddha, Mukta, Suryava. It is Siddham already. Siddha means you have already got it. Which one? Atma. Atma is already there. It's not going to come from outside. So such an object, and when it is to manifest there, there is no effort required. Effort is not the thing that will make it happen. In fact, when we say that, if you say effort is required, then you have lost it. If you start thinking that effort is required. Because if it is effort, you will think that I have to work hard for so many years and I will get it. But this is not one vastu like that. Atma is not like that. Take for example the examinations. Say GCSE or A-levels. Somebody gets A star or A plus or whatever that is. And so many things in there. And distinction, and they become engineers or doctors or scientists and all that. All these things you have to put effort, isn't it? And through effort you get that. And similarly, through effort you go to the moon, to the Mars, space, you go to the underneath the sea, ocean, everywhere. So many things, everything through effort. Effort is required. But this is one thing where effort won't help you. This you have to be very clear about it. Effort is not the thing that will get you that. And because if it was through effort, a lot of people would have already self-realized in this world. Because there are a lot of people here who are very capable, isn't it? Works very hard, who can put a lot of... Sometimes when you see the determination of this, some sportsmen and musicians and all that, hours and hours, the effort they put into it, tennis players, football players and all, practicing. So look at their determination, the effort they put into it to get that perfection in their life. And if it was effort was the result, effort is the cause of getting a result in spiritual life, I'm sure in this world there are many people who have that kind of effort they can put into. And they would have got the result. This is the proof that effort is not the thing that brings the result in spiritual life. This is the important realization here. So, because that is what is easy for us. Which one? Putting the effort. We like it. Because somebody tells us, gives you a huge task in front of you, and if you keep on putting effort into it, you will always be thinking, I'll get there. We'll get there, they'll say. We'll get there one day.
and somebody tells you like that, that you'll get there one day, then you'll keep on banging on it again and again. So it is easy that way to put effort into it. The more difficult thing is to withdraw from the effort. That's the most difficult thing, to withdraw from the effort. So, so we should always get clear this thing in ourselves. Self-realization is not happening to us. It's not because we have not put enough effort into it. Do you know what I'm saying? Not because we have not put enough effort into it that self-realization hasn't happened. The self-realization has not happened because we have not learned how not to put effort into it. Not learned how to stay quiet, in other words. That's where our problem is. You can see that vasana coming out in some form through us. That karma vasana inside. I have to do this. I have to do that. If I don't do this, what will happen? My spiritual life is centered around all my effort. So you're so convinced about that. And therefore you're going in that route all the time. And because you're not convinced yourself, that's why you're going in that route. You're not convinced yourself. You're still thinking somewhere behind your back, there's some thought inside telling you, oh, if I don't do all these things, what will happen to my soul? Krishna will not be happy with me. Or somebody else won't be happy with me. And I don't want that situation happen. So I'll do a little bit so that he is pleased with me. At least he is not upset with me. I don't want to upset anybody. And then we will develop certain philosophy centered around that understanding. What Krishna is saying to us, that is not due to your lack of effort, self-brahma-jnanam, brahma-vidya is not happening to you. It is happening because you have not learned how to pull out of this effort business. So that is the most difficult thing. And that tendency to put effort into it is called avidya or ajnanam. Ajnanam or avidya. And you can see this, I am saying this and you are shaking the head, but very next day you will go and do exactly opposite. After shaking the head all directions, you will turn around and do exactly opposite because your faith hasn't changed there. The belief is still thinking that it is my effort that's going to bring the result. That is exactly in the eighth. Spiritual life is not easy. It's not easy to think that spiritual life is so easy. We think that because I believe in my effort, I have so much faith in my effort, that is our problem. In the eighth canto of Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see this. Who says this? Krishna says this. To whom? Krishna, when he came as the fish, he says this to the fish, Satyavrata, he says this. It's not easy to take it away from inside, because no matter how much we talk about it, I know it's not going to help, but what can we do? You have to say it. You keep on saying, and you have to keep on doing what you have to do. So if you look into the 24th chapter, 8:24-46. Rajovacham ananda vidyobahatalma samvidam tanmula samsara parishramatura. That parishrama. Parishrama means this. You have to do it. What you think you are doing the right thing. Keep on doing it. And you do it, keep on doing it for the rest of the life. And finally you will realize it was all a waste of time. This effort. Thing called effort. That's what he's saying. Anadya vidya. Anadya vidya. Anadya vidyoma had alma samvidam. Anadya. It has been there for a long, long time, this avidya inside me. It's not going to go away. Alma samvidam, tanmulam, because of that, samsara parishramadhura. I put all my effort, parishramam, and struggle and finally get tired of it. Finally get tired. Because it makes sense. If it was your effort that was causing all the success in spiritual life, this world cannot be like the way it is today. Because there are so many people in this world who can put a lot more effort than what we can do. If you see their determination and their commitment and excellence in doing things, when you see that perfection and how good they are at, because they have so much effort they can put into it.
Is it not? Day and night they can work. Day and night they can... and we should have found a lot of self-realized soul walking around on the planet. But it looks that it doesn't happen like that. So therefore, to confirm that is what that verse. Anadya vidyopahata alpasamvidam tanmoola samsara parishramadura idrchayeho vasrudayam apriyar vimuktido na paramo gurudhavan. The king is saying this to Satipada Muni, is saying this to the fish incarnation there. So that's something important from this verse. So what happens is, when we go down in that road, effort, then it has become a disease then, finally. It has become a disease. And because of that, thinking like that, to become happy and perfect, we engage in karma. And continuously struggle in that way and go on doing that. On the other hand, if you look at those who have come in the proper spiritual traditions and who have knowledge and renunciation, as I mentioned there, that the where there is sattugunam in that person, he knows that karmam is not the perfection. Karmam is not going to help us here. And properly who have heard Vedantam from the proper sources, studied Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam properly, for them, they know very well that through effort, there is nothing spiritually, anything going to come from that. So that is why once Swarupam is known, then at that time he will know from inside that his identity as the self, as the Atma, that realization will come out from inside, and at that time, and that is what he calls as kripa. When knowledge of the self coming from inside with Antaryami's confirmation, Antaryami is giving you that realization from inside, that outside action is, first step is the faith in the outside world has to go. Secondly, after turning inwards, and this effort you have been putting in the world for a long period of time, hoping that one day it's going to come out from somewhere. That won't happen. But what will happen is, after that effort, a lot of effort has been put in, and then you will become tired of it, this effort, not getting anywhere. At that time, that you will slowly withdraw from the world and internally start going inwards. At that time, from inside, because the karma vasana has gone a lot from inside, purification from inside will work in such a way that grace, Krishna's grace as it's called, kripa of the Antaryami, it will start slowly revealing itself. And that in that process, that false ego inside, ahankaram inside, it has destroyed it. It has destroyed. Because this effort and the faith in this all these things is due to the ahankaram inside. False ego inside. And at that time, he will also see that without knowing the self, what use is there knowing so many other things in this world? This question will come up strongly inside. Without knowing me, without knowing about myself, what use is there knowing about so many other things in this world? And one thing. Secondly, after you have known about yourself, then what else is to be known here? This, both sides it will happen. So, Krishna spoke about this before, remember? that avibhaktam vibhakteshu. Remember that? I think it was 13th or 14th chapter. That avibhaktam vibhakteshu, that was that realization. Remember? Avibhaktam vibhakteshu. That one vastu which is unbroken, present in everyone. That was two. Avibhaktam vibhakteshu. Then that is what that is. Avibhaktam vibhakteshu. And when that realization comes, that Atma, you realize it, what it is and that what you are. That is what Krishna is saying here. And one who is not followed the traditions in that way, and for them, and who has not followed the process of Vedantam properly and heard about it, and who are very attached to the objects outside in this world, attachment there, even though they have intelligence, they will find it very difficult. They'll find it very difficult. Brahman is well known, and Brahma Jnanam does not come by external effort. At the same time, Brahman is so famous that, and can be easily known, and it is very close to you, and it is your Atma. Even though it is like that, Ajari mentions here, you have to remove that ignorance from inside. Ignorance is that is putting the cap on top of that. Prasiddham. Prasiddham. Prasiddham means prakarshayana siddham. Because, remember we talked about this before, we haven't got a body. What we have got is ourselves. That's what we have got. We are foolishly thinking, I've got this body. I got this mind. I got this intelligence. We haven't got any of them. That is belongs to Prakriti has got it. We don't have it. Because if we have got it, I should have a control over it. Is it not? What control do I have on my mind? What control do I have on my body? What control do I have on my intelligence? This is the proof that we haven't got the body, we haven't got the mind, we haven't got the intelligence. All what I have got is me. My awareness, consciousness, which never leaves me. That's what I have got. So that is what Krishna is saying in these things, that this realization, those whose attention is always in the world, in the other name and form, recognition, this, that and the other, and thinking that by doing all these things, one day I'm going to become perfect. Realization, it won't come. That is the important point Krishna is making here. He's saying to us that leave them behind, let the attention go inwards. And there that Atmabhudam, he says here, that instead of giving attention there, where the awareness is present, who I am, that atmosphere has gone away, and buddhijnayam, suvijnayam, and even though it is available for us, we have this big handicap in us, it's so difficult to know it. Isn't it? About Atma. Whenever anything is spoken about Atma, we open a blank face. We think, what is this thing talking about? Atma, Brahman and all that. Whereas we are much more comfortable when we talk about something like, say, prasadam or form and deities, name, form, all that makes more accessible to us. Why? Because the mind can capture all that. There is Atma mind cannot capture. So even though our swarupam, our form is Atma, still very difficult to know about that. Durvijnayam adidustaram anyaniva. So, and it appears as though it is far away from us, and it is far away from us, and it is something which cannot be known, and it is something outside us. This is how you feel about Atma at the moment. Remember when we discussed that chapter 13, so many things were spoken about Atma in the 13th chapter. If you can remember, in the 13th chapter, yeah, it says there that that 13th chapter was a very important chapter, where we have spoken about the durastam chandike chatat. Sarvada pani badam dal, sarvado kshishiro mukham, sarvada shudimal loge, sarvam avrtyatishtadi. That's the 14. Sarvendriya gunabhasam, sarvendriya vivarjidam, asaktam sarvabhakshaiva, nirgunam, nirgopraja. Bahirandascha bodhanam, ajaram charame vaja, sushmatvad tadavijnayam, dhira durastam chandike chadad. Sushmatvad tadavijnayam. It is so subtle, it is difficult to know. Sushmatvad tadavijnayam. Durastam Chandike Chatat. And you think it is so far away, although he is the closest to you. Is it not? Durastam Chandike Chatat. We will read all this, what Krishna is saying, and then we will go and look for somewhere else. This is us. So from there you can see the strength of that avidya inside us. This is called avidya. That having, after reading all these verses in the Bhagavad Gita, what should we be thinking about? We should be, Krishna is saying to us, that Antaryami inside, who is closest to you than anything else, is where the search has to be. Where the search has to be. He is the one who is going to reveal that to us one day. Nobody else is going to tell us. So, so that is why it is said there that the bahyagara nivatta buddhinam tu talabdha guru alpa prasadanam na adha param sukham suprasiddham buddhinyayam swasangadaram asti tadaja uktam pratyakshavagamam dharmyam. Remember that word? Pratyakshavagamam dharmyam susukham kartum avyayam. In the 9th chapter. Rajavidya rajaguhyam. What is the rajavidya? Rajavidya is this. Knowledge of the self inside. Rajaguhyam, the king of all knowledge. Pavitram, very pure. Idam uttamam. Pratyaksham, avagamam, dharmyam. Susukham, kartum, avyayam. That pratyakshavagamam, dharmyam. All that is pointing out to that Atma inside. Rajavidya is that knowledge of the self. Rajaguhyam, most confidential it is. But at the same time, pratyakshavagamam, dharmyam. Susukham kartum avyayam. So, that verse also is referring to this self-realization, in other words. Without that, all this Bhagavad Gita won't make any sense. Everything in the Bhagavad Gita is pointing towards Atma, one way or the other. Krishna is coming to it from different angles. Because Krishna is in that state all the time. Therefore, whatever he is saying, you have to take it very seriously. From that state he is speaking. And from different angles, Krishna is putting it front of us so that at least somehow or the other get our attention into Atma. Whereas we find that disturbing or annoying for us. We don't want that. We like something spoken on the bodily level. Isn't it? That's what we find it easy to relate with. For the body and the mind. With the body and the mind, you can discuss so many things, but body and the mind won't get you to Atma. Atma level is a completely different level. So, when intelligence is withdrawn from the world outside, and once has the grace of the spiritual master and the grace of Atma itself, who is inside, and actually Guru Kripa, spiritual master's grace means, it's a grace of the Antaryami inside. It's not different. Sometimes this is our problem because we are thinking all the time that grace means somebody is coming to come and give it to us somewhere. Or because he is happy with me, he will give it to me. That's not how it works. When your proper understanding is that grace, you have to work what you have to do in this world, but at the same time, grace comes from Antaryami. That's what is called Guru Kripa. Guru Kripa is nothing but Antaryami's Kripa it is. If Antaryami is pleased with the activities, then Antaryami's Kripa comes out and that is what is called Guru Kripa. Because, if you remember, in the Uddhava said this to Krishna. Atmano Gurur Atmaiva Purushasya Visheshada. Atma, standing outside in the form, is Guru. Guru outside is nothing but the Atma which is inside me. It is this Atma inside standing in a form outside as Guru. So that Guru and this Atma inside is non-different. Atmano Gurur Atmaiva Purushasya Visheshada. Pratyakshena Anumanabhyam Shreyasam Anivindade. Uddhava said this to Krishna. So here, that is why when grace comes, if Guru is pleased with you or not, how do you know? You are doing so many things. If this realization is coming from inside, you can take it that Guru is pleased. That's why he's revealing that to you. But if that is not happening, and you have done millions of things in this world to please the Guru, thinking that I've washed your feet, I've done so many other things, and are you pleased with me? I've done so much service for you. Are you pleased with me? You may not get an answer for that question. It will be a very blank thing. It will be a very difficult thing. The proof of that spiritual master is pleased with you is only you can say that when this revelation from Antaryami comes about your identity of the self. At that time you can say that that Guru Kripa, Guru's grace, is the same as Antaryami's grace, is coming in that form. So, but only when this Atma is inside, but for intuition, when we say like that, that is when you recognize a Mahatma. Only you recognize a Mahatma that it is an intuition from inside. Who gives that intuition? Antaryami gives the intuition. Somebody is a Mahatma. Mahatma is not by advertising. You don't become a Mahatma like that. Nowadays that's a tendency, isn't it? Because this media is such a powerful thing today. It has affected everything, including spiritual life. So this, like every product we advertise about Guru also in the same way. What to do? So people are like that. We are so much used to consumerism. Product, strong, powerful advertisement will make you buy a product, isn't it? That you know how it works. How strong advertisements makes you to buy a product. Similarly, Guru also, if you very strongly advertise as a Jagadguru, you advertise and you get a few people to do that job for you, then he will sell that product, Guru product. So it's the same thing. What Krishna is saying here, that Guru, when proper Guru Kripa comes, you will recognize a Mahatma simply by that intuition from inside. That is how it has to happen. If it does not happen like that, it is artificial and it's false and it will fail one day. It will go for some time. The show will go on for some time. Finally, it will collapse. It cannot work. It cannot work. Because spiritual life is like that. That's the nature of spiritual life. It has to come from inside. You have to recognize as a Mahatma, and that recognition must come from inside as an intuition. That's it. Intuition. So many people, Krishna is saying here that you can, if you observe people's life, this has happened in their life, but they may not have understood that. So first thing, that grace has to come from inside, from the Antaryami. And it is that grace what actually shows you the spiritual master. When the grace comes from Krishna, Antaryami, the Guru and yourself, all are very closely connected to each other. They are not separate entities in this world. They are all related to each other. Every one of them has a role in our spiritual life. We have to be looking spiritually for spiritual life. We want spiritual life and we want to make that progress in spiritual path, self-realization. We accept the Shastram what Krishna is saying to us. And this burning inside that desire. And at some stage, Antaryami inside will, through intuition, shows to you, go to this person here, or put that person in front of you in such a way that contact will be made. So therefore, only that person who has that prasadam from the spiritual master in this particular way, there is nothing more higher than that, because he is experiencing spiritual life properly, that experiencing it properly. So I think we'll stop there today and we'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.